Thanks for listening to Chicago's Morning Answer podcast, sponsored by Signature Bank. Signature Bank takes pride in helping customers grow their business and provide unmatched banking expertise, custom financial solutions, and the industry's best technology. So whether you're a business looking for a deposit relationship or needs a ready source of financing, Signature Bank is the right bank for you. Call today at 773-467-5600 to hear how Signature Bank can help your business grow and thrive. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
This is Chicago's Morning Answer with Dan Proft and Amy Jacobson on AM 560, The Answer.
Good Thursday morning. Amy Jacobson here. John Anthony in for Dan Proft. How are you?
Hey, I'm doing well. Thanks for having me.
Wow. How was your drive in? Any drama? Anything
no,
going on?
Just long. That's all. Just a long drive.
Hey, what? You leave at 2 in the morning?
No, I leave at 3:50, something like that.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah. Okay. So I am shaking.
Uh-oh.
But because, oh, all right. So when I came back from France last week.
France.
Well, France. Yes, the French. They're very lovely. They're nice people. Nobody spoke English.
Uh-oh.
Je parlez-vous français?
No. Okay, thanks. Then you use Google Translate just to say, how do I get to the bus? But I woke up and I was starving, so I do something I normally don't do, and that's eat breakfast at the old diner down the street. It's 24 hours.
Okay.
I went in and placed my order, went back to the car to do some things, you know.
Uh-oh.
And I see these two black dudes wearing the black face mask with the black hoodie on, and my heart started racing.
Did they have MAGA hats on?
They didn't. I forgot. That's right. We're in MAGA country.
That's right.
And they weren't getting a tuna sandwich either. So they went in, and then I thought, oh, my God, I got to call the cops. This is bad. So then because I love the guy that's the cook. Mm-hmm. You know, he's cool, and there was another woman in there that I don't know who she is. So I kind of slide in Charlie Angel style. You're like, my back's on the wall. And I get in, and I'm like this. It's just, and I look over, and I go, Miguel, are you okay?
Oh, jeez.
Because they were on the other side of the wall. I'm like, do you need me to call the cops? And he says to me, he goes, gangbangers eat too.
Ooh.
So
got him.
I just went, okay, and I grabbed my food.
Yeah.
And I left.
But they were masked up, though, didn't you say?
They were, and while they were sitting there, too, they were still masked up.
Yeah. Wow.
But they were kind of leery of me, and I was leery of them because they're high school kids, so why aren't you in bed because you have school in a few hours?
Right. It's 4 in the morning, right?
Yeah. What the heck? All right. So then this morning, which leads me to this morning. So I let my dog out in the morning out front, but I clean up the poop when I get back from work. I swear I clean up the poop because I know exactly where she poos every time.
Yeah.
This morning I opened my door and there were three people, black hoods, the mask. One looked like literally in front of me.
Really?
And I am armed, so I immediately, and I didn't scream, but I grabbed Bunky, I quickly shut the door, and I locked it, and then I ran and got my protection.
Yeah.
What are my legal rights? If they charge, because it's a small spot between the sidewalk and my front door. It's about 6 steps.
Mm-hmm.
What if they got, I mean, could I defend myself
not
on my front
door.
Steps or through the front door? If I'm on.
Not through the front door. Yeah.
So I know
I'm not a lawyer.
Charging,
I just play one on TV.
If they're charging my front step, which they didn't, but I was worried that they would, and that's why I'm still shaking. Do I have a right to shoot them?
They're just running towards you? They didn't do anything else?
Right.
What did they do?
No, I'm saying they didn't, but what if they look? We made eye contact.
Hold the door. Lock the door to dial 911. I'm just
dial 9.
I'm
I had
just
a friend who got carjacked,
you're in Cook
and it
County.
Took almost 2 hours for
you're
them to
Cook
get there.
You're in Cook County. You're white, and you're Amy Jacobson. They will make an.
I'm white.
Did you know that? They will make an example out of you.
Oh, if I.
Oh, come on.
What about here's another.
What if they just wanted to come knock on the door and tell you something? Hey,
come vote for Bring Chicago.
Hey,
Home
your
initiative.
Window's open, or hey, I mean, but you have. I mean, here's the deal. Lakeview just went through what 12 robberies in
no,
the middle
20
of the
robberies in 24 hours where they literally dragged women in broad daylight. The first one started at 11:15 a.m.
Right.
That dragged while they're walking down the street in broad daylight, a group of 3 to 4 black dudes, maybe possibly some thought it was one Hispanic. They weren't sure, but they weren't white and they were
wearing
hoods.
Yeah.
And one was wearing a black N95 mask.
Yeah. Yeah,
this COVID thing.
I would never shoot through the door in Cook County.
You what?
I would never shoot through the door in my house. At my house, neither. I just let them know I'm armed, and they may want to go away.
All right. What about? Okay, but anyway, so what happened to these women? One was on Ravenswood, one was on Ainslie, one was. They didn't stop.
Yeah.
They were relentless, and they would grab women by their hair, throw them on the ground, grab a blunt object, hit them on the head repeatedly. And no, you see these surveillance videos, these Ring cameras, and
that's when you carry.
And that's why are people not grabbing? Like, where are the men?
Right.
Where are the women? If I saw a woman getting the blank kicked out of her, I would stand up and do something.
Now you can articulate, a fear of your life, of losing your life, great bodily harm in that situation.
All right,
unload on them. I would. I'm not giving anybody that advice. That's what if I was in that position and somebody was, two, three guys. That's what the Second Amendment is for. Right. And, Illinois, I don't think Illinois is a stand-your-ground state. So you can't just, stand your ground. You got to make a reasonable, you got to try to get away. If you can't, they grabbing you by the head, and I got a sidearm, I'm letting them have it, DRT. That's
what if you have your concealed carry and you see a woman getting the crap beat out of her, like happened all day for 24 hours, 20 times. Think about that, people. Yeah. And they were targeting women. A few men got robbed, too, in the mix. But what if you see somebody beating up a woman? Can I get out a piece?
Again, this is not advice. I'm not giving anybody advice because this is Illinois.
But they're not attacking me, but I'm seeing them attack someone.
First of all, dial 911. Be a good witness. And you have to be able to articulate. You thought that this person was about to lose their life or receive some great bodily harm. Then you have to make sure when you make that decision to intervene.
312-642-5600 turnkey.pro answer line. You could also reach us all morning long on our text line. Do you have that fired up over there, buddy? I could get it going for you.
It's up, but it's idle.
Okay,
it's been idle for the last.
Wait,
40 minutes.
I could click this on, and here we go. There, we're in business. Craig in Mount Greenwood, you're on Chicago's Morning Answer. Good morning.
Hey, good morning, Amy, and good morning, John.
Hey, buddy.
Love when you guys are together. Hey, John, how you doing, man?
I'm well, sir.
You guys make a good team in the morning, I'll tell you that.
Thank you.
But with regard to Amy, when she was asking a question about kind of like legality and all that and stuff like that, John, you're right on there, like just kind of like your thoughts, the direction you're going and everything. But you know what the shame of it is? With regard, it's all political. And we see it every day. I mean, we see it with Trump. And the thing is you could be well within your rights. You're doing it. But being in Illinois and with leftists and anybody in any place, we've seen it with other cases and everything, what they try to do with law-abiding citizens, just protect themselves or trying to protect somebody else, help somebody else out. I'm like, I would try to do something, but I would have I have a concealed carry in me. I would probably have a something in my hand that I could use to defend myself if it didn't work out hand-to-hand or something like that. I don't know what I would do. I'd be afraid to use my gun because of the leftists basically coming after me for protecting myself or trying to, get a criminal. That's the shame of it, what we're living through here.
And yeah, that's true.
Thanks
for the phone call.
Any good
you're welcome.
Concealed carry trainer,
yeah.
One of the first things they always tell you is what? Be a good witness. Mike Brown, Mike Brown, the guy that does, he's now doing like $25 to help people because he wants as many people in Chicago to get their concealed carry. He's doing like $25 per.
Really?
Yeah. He's.
I should sign up for that.
You probably should. He's a former police officer. Mm-hmm. One of the best concealed carry. Anita Padilla used to always have him on.
Oh, and programming note, we're having Anita on the show tomorrow.
No way.
At 6:35. Yep.
Oh, okay. Oh, it'd be interesting to hear.
All right, so that's good.
But he always he tells his class, he's always on there, he's always doing live videos, and he always says, be a good witness first. That's the best thing you could ever do because you never know what's going to happen. You never know if there's 3-4 more guys around the corner, and while you're pulling your gun, they come around and see you. Or, you just got to be careful.
I have another question for you. Most of us, pretty much all of us, have detached garages.
Mm-hmm.
Walk into my car, and
I always
back in. Oh, yeah, that's right. You parked
and left the garage door open. Oops.
Yeah. He left my garage door. That's another story. He went to a Cubs game and left my garage open. Thanks very much.
You're welcome.
But so if you're, so I always back in so that I drive forward and pull out.
Smart.
What if somebody attacks you in your garage? Is that considered your house? Can you shoot?
Oh, You just want to shoot somebody.
No,
honey.
I don't want to shoot. I'm not trigger happy. I'm saying at that time in the morning,
right,
and no one's around,
right,
and it's quiet, and they could be quiet too, and boom.
Yeah. Well, that has happened in Chicago.
Oh, my neighbor got two kids gun held to her head, 3 o'clock in the afternoon on a sunny Sunday, was robbed, and she was just grateful they didn't pull the trigger, but she said they were kids.
Right.
Because she's a teacher, a CPS teacher, too.
Well, that has happened many times in Chicago.
Oh, yeah.
And I haven't seen any concealed carry person get arrested for it. I'll answer it that way. Okay. I've yet to see anybody that's concealed carry get arrested for that.
Bill on the Northwest Side, you're on Chicago's Morning Answer.
Yeah, Amy, I just recently got my concealed carry permit. And the whole large picture is if you feel your life is in danger, then yes, you can defend yourself with your weapon. It has to be a situation where you have to feel that was your last option. Mm-hmm. And as far as what happened with your dog this morning, what you want to do is go back into your house, lock your door. Yeah, if they're breaking into your house at that point, yes, your life is in danger at that point.
Okay.
But that's
well, they weren't breaking in, and I don't know if they were going to the piggery, but they were walking that way.
Right.
And before I had seen
you wouldn't want to use
not
your
the piggery.
Weapon.
I'm sorry, not the piggery, the diner.
Yeah, you see that on the on the turn.
Yeah, you wouldn't want to use your weapon in that situation. What you want to do is try to get away from that situation.
Right. Which is
so
what
I said. That has to be the situation where you felt you had no other option left to defend your life.
Okay. Thanks, Bill, for the phone call.
But guess what? Texas, you could unload because this is, I mean, Florida.
Oh, that's right.
Florida. Stand your ground.
Oh, that's right.
You can stand your ground. Come at me. Guess what? The free places. Places like Florida, Texas, where it's free.
Must be nice. David in Winnetka, you're on Chicago's Morning Answer. Hello.
Hey, good morning, guys. Thanks for having me on. I think a lot comes down to, okay, just in my little world, I've never been part of law enforcement. I've never been in the military. I hang out with a lot of patriots that are former corpsmen and different things. We go to the range, blah, 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 do all this stuff together. Bottom line, though, if you are white trying to defend yourself, you better make sure in the city, you've got a very good, whatever, even if you've got drawn on. I mean, I leave my gun home 90% of the time just because of the fact I'm white. Yeah. And, you know, it sucks to say that, but it's real. It's true.
Wow.
Yeah. Isn't that what I just said? I mean, a white offender and a black assailant. Ugh.
I know. And then that, I mean,
Especially someone like you.
What was that supposed to
Because
be?
You're Amy Jacobson.
Oh, you stop it.
I'm serious. And they would definitely want to make an example out of someone like you, Dan, Sean.
You?
No, see, I'm half.
No.
I'm half black, so.
Stop.
It's news, opinion, insight. This is Chicago's Morning Answer on AM 560. The Answer.
Business owners, now's the time for your business to make the move to a locally owned business bank. Hi, Mike Gallagher here to let you know that you don't have to look far. Signature Bank was founded in Chicago with a simple mission to help companies like yours grow, succeed, and thrive. Their decisions are made locally by a terrific team that knows your name, cares about your business, and invests in your success. That's why Signature Bank is my bank. I'm a customer. As business owners, they knew that local family-owned businesses were not getting the help they needed or deserved. So I invite you to reach out to my friends at Signature Bank today. Write the number down. Remember this phone number, Signature Bank, 773-467-5630, and learn all about this great bank, 773-467-5630, or visit them online at signaturebank.bank. That's signaturebank.bank. Signature Bank makes commercial banking personal. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
For the latest news, insight into what it means, and the sharpest opinion, there's only one station in Chicago where you can turn, and it's this one. We're AM 560, The Answer.
All right, learning all sorts of things about the budget. 312-642-5600, turnkey.pro answer line. You can also reach us on our text line, which John Anthony is in charge of.
I'm watching it.
He's all over that.
Yes.
And what's the text line?
Well, somebody said, Amy, check active self-defense on YouTube. They have real-life defense videos to learn from. So you may want to check that out on YouTube.
All right. But the text line number is?
Oh, I don't see the number.
I'm going to, ready? Yeah, six, what? Ready? 646. Six, now write six. This number.
I'm writing it.
All right, 646 yeah. 36.
36.
You have to type in DA, then a quick comment.
Are you serious?
What do you mean, am I serious?
Jeez, that's a lot of words. That's a lot of words so early in the
do
morning.
You ever, do you know how to text into places? Do you?
Yeah, I do it. I do it a lot on Mike Gallagher's show.
Oh, you do?
Yeah, I do.
What's his text line?
It's his,
is
it's
it
a,
the
a
turnkey
whole,
job
one,
pro text
no,
line?
No, it's 1-800 or something. It's so long. Yeah.
I've never done that. I've tried, but yeah. I'm not really too good with technology, as Justin knows. We could have a segment, old ladies and iPhones. But we got to work on that, Justin. Because I just got a new iPhone 15, and I'm still trying to figure this thing out here.
Right.
All right. So did you watch the State of the State, Pritzker's sixth State of the State address, which is really the budget address?
No.
Why not? Because, I told you that you had to watch it.
No,
it was your homework assignment.
I listened to some of the state reps that opined about it afterwards.
Yeah, so this is what it is. So this is the first year, guys, that lawmakers won't have pandemic money.
Yeah.
You know, to fund the programs that they want. $891 million budget deficit.
Ooh.
That's what we have right now. So one way they're thinking about generating revenue is to raise the sales tax on sports betting from 15% to 35%.
Whoa. That's a big jump.
Yeah. And State Senator Bob Martwick, excuse me.
Martwick. Yeah.
No, here's his reaction to that.
I think one has to be concerned that maybe if we go too far, we could potentially kill off some of the revenues that we're getting for it.
312-642-5600, turnkey.pro. Answer line 64636, type in DA, then a quick comment. Let's bring into the conversation Mike Scott, because you've been around a long time. What did you make yesterday? Anything you learned from Governor Pritzker's State of the State?
Thanks for calling me old. I appreciate it. Wow.
No, you're not old.
You just walk in the studio and I'm old now.
Jesus Christ.
I got gray hair, but come on.
Well, I know that this is just a starting point for negotiations.
Right.
But the $182 million to go to migrants after we've already dropped $500 million, that's, you know, Pritzker was trying to sell that yesterday.
Now, I won't pretend that any of this is easy, but it would be irresponsible to do anything but come here, lay out the scope of the challenge, tell you what I think we need to do, and then work with you to make it happen.
I mean, where are we getting all this money?
The people.
Pardon?
The people. You.
Well, then
me.
Shouldn't we have a say in how our tax dollars are being spent?
That's what our representatives are elected for.
Well, you need to look very carefully at who is representing you in Springfield. Mm-hmm. And if it is a Democrat, they are not going to oppose, according to House Speaker Emmanuel Chris Welch, that it's important to remember from his perspective that most of these proposals are already baked into the cookie.
Yeah.
That they are going to be there's going to be no debate. Quite literally about whether or not these are in the package. There may be reductions, highs and lows. And we've seen already some Democrats saying, as John said, maybe we need to moderate that tax on on sports gaming just a little bit. But it's a revenue source that they need. And if they don't get, there's a big hole already with a $919 billion budget deficit.
Right.
That makes the budget deficit even bigger if they don't get that amount in gaming. That's how they're trying to balance the budget. Couple of moderately good things. Pension debt is paid for in the budget for the year, and there are other things, some bond debt, some mid-level and short-term bond debt that is actually being taken care of through this budget. So moderately good, but you know the pension situation is completely funded by property taxes.
Yep.
No help there.
Yep.
And that's the thing. And then what? So I watched this 52-minute speech because you didn't.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah.
And there were some standing ovations, and one was about the grocery tax. And the thing was, the grocery tax is our state rep, Tony McCombie, who's
the House Minority Leader.
Yeah, House Minority Leader's like, that's not going to be good because it's a local tax.
That is not a state tax. That is a local tax. The grocery tax is a local tax. So he just took $350 million out of local municipalities and villages.
She's
so,
right.
Right. So is that negotiable?
Yeah.
I mean,
that's probably one of the throwaways. And this is how, listen.
Because you were a state rep for
how long? You want to know the reason why I didn't listen to it? Because it's all a lot. Illinois has not had a balanced budget in years. I want to see what COGFA has to say.
Who?
COGFA. That's the Commission on Government Forecasting and Accountability. They do an estimate every year about the budget. They haven't released their estimate yet or their forecast. They haven't released any of that yet. I want to hear what they have to say because there's always a supplemental bill to most people are not paying attention at this time.
Right.
Because they know that the budget is not balanced, so then they come and sneak in a supplemental bill later to cover whatever the gap is.
Oh.
That's why I don't listen to it because it's all. I didn't even listen to it when Rauner was governor, and I was sitting there in the House.
You were sitting in the House chamber, or you're sitting at the state capitol, and you didn't.
Because Republicans didn't have a say in the budget.
Right.
We don't have a say in the budget.
Right.
They'll drop that budget bill when it's time for them to pass it. Sometime they're just going to drop it in the middle of the night. And then there's going to have to be a vote on it. That's
sure,
how
but, there, but there, there's got to be a way, according to House Republicans, to balance the budget without a grocery tax. Illinois is only one of 10 states that have a grocery tax.
Yeah.
82% of Americans do not have a grocery tax. And among the 10 biggest states in the country, Illinois is the only one with a grocery tax. A grocery tax, according to House Republicans and Senate Republicans, is not just regressive. It eats away at your ability to be able to afford on top of 22% inflation over the past 4 to 5 years.
Because during COVID, Pritzker froze the grocery tax, remember?
He did for a year, but then it went back up.
Yeah.
And don't forget, I'm telling you, I go to the grocery store and it's scary.
But Republicans have tried to get rid of the grocery tax dating back to 2021, Don DeWitt of St. Charles has introduced legislation year after year after year
one
to get rid of this and to repeal the grocery tax. It always dies in committee.
Okay, what another thing he proposed, $53 billion spending plan to help homeless in the black community.
I am willing to spend serious political capital and put my shoulder to the wheel to get this done.
You know
what
this is about.
Rolling your eyes?
This is about the Mark Carters of the world coming out, talking about what they've done, what Pritzker and his administration, Brandon and his administration have done, and they haven't what they have not done in the black community. This is what they're trying to do is just grease the hands. Come on, really? You know, Mark Batnick, he's a former state representative.
Right.
He wanted to go to a 2-year budgeting system. That will be a great idea. And you know what else we need? We need a fiscal audit. What do they call the more extreme one?
That's bigger than an audit.
A forensic audit.
Yes.
We need that in our budgeting. You want to find the waste in our budgeting system? Yeah, because I remember voting against a budget that was $32 billion in 2013, and to say that they're voting on a $53 billion budget, that's just the general fund. That's not considering the other half of the budgeting tiers, blip, the BIPs, and all of that.
Right.
See, you can get lost in the minutiae with the budgeting.
Mm-hmm.
But I really was fascinated by it because they don't tell you, that's $52 billion, but the pensions alone take so much of this budgeting.
So the $53 billion.
Yes, it's already, to your point, it's already where the money has to go is already baked in.
Right. I think one of the things to look at in terms of 2-year budgeting is look at what other states around us do. Wisconsin, Minnesota. Iowa, I think, has a 2-year budget. If not, it's at least a biannual.
I think Texas
budget.
Too.
Texas has a 2-year budget. Yeah. You're right. It's 2-year budgets are in most state houses are pretty much the norm, but not in states like California, New Jersey, New York, Illinois. Obviously, and to your point on the $52 million, right, to the homeless effort.
Well, $53 billion, he said, he wants millions to go to the black community.
Right, that couples with what Brandon Johnson did yesterday, his borrowing $1.28 billion.
Yeah.
Billion?
Billion with a B.
Jeez.
Borrowing paid off by expiring TIFs to be able to fund at least half of it, new development projects completely regulated by City Hall. It's
What could go wrong? Government
housing? it's the way things have been done. Contractors will get the bids. Certain iron fencing will go up. Certain banks will get very favorable lending. That's the way these things are baked at City Hall. But it goes hand in hand with Pritzker and Brandon Johnson's proposals yesterday. Go hand in hand.
Sorry for interrupting. But about 50,000 homeless people are in Chicago, they estimate. Did they ask?
They all black?
50,000? Well, I don't know. They're not. They're not all black.
So the white homeless.
So the white homeless. Yeah. Get left out, but the Latino. Black homeless here. Come this way. Yeah. We have a home for you. But a lot of homeless don't want homes.
Right.
I cannot stress this enough.
That's true.
I have spent so much time with the homeless over the years. Catholic Charities I was with, and then when I was in El Paso, I always was involved in the community and volunteered. And they want to be free.
You know, I know you're telling the truth. When I worked at Safer Foundation, because the Safer Foundation, we help ex-offenders and people like that. Almost every person who was homeless said, I don't want the responsibility of homeownership or renting. I like it out here. I'm free. Nobody bothers me. I control this. So you're right. I've heard that time and time again.
There's one other thing that people don't realize, and it doesn't necessarily hit them until the back end in this budget proposal. Let's make sure that everybody knows it's a proposal.
Correct.
Right.
Negotiations are starting.
Amongst Democrats.
Right. there's an elimination of a tax credit that keeps medium and large size retailers alive. It's a cap on deductions that large corporations can take on their income taxes. That's going to be eliminated. That's well over $500 million that Pritzker is counting on to try to balance the so-called balanced budget. But it's a big deal, because this is one of those things that, according to those who are looking at this right now, it's one of those back-end things that's going to hit middle-income families, because they're going to be forced to pay more for the very products that they need to run their households,
right,
because retailers are not going to be able to take this cap on. They're not going to be able to take the larger deduction, and they're going to be capped.
Wow.
Yeah. And Amy, I think people forget. Remember when Pritzker first came in the office? Remember the Capitol bill and for the road improvements?
Oh,
people forget that all these fees, your car registration fee,
oh,
all this stuff went
and
up.
The people city sticker and then
the
this,
gas,
and then,
the gas
gas
tax,
and then you
doubled.
Buy a toll thing.
Yeah,
now
on
we
top.
Need a new, right, and we need a new.
And what is wrong with Illinoisans?
We're getting rid of the old block that you put on your windshield.
That's actually those who are. It's actually a good idea. And if you believe those who are in charge of the tollway, it's going to actually reduce cost.
Yeah, but
over time.
So is it beneficial if we all go and get rid of the block?
I want to get rid of all of it, though. I mean, listen, how many times? Because
he'll
tell you what.
Do we have the tolls in place to pay for schools?
Yes.
Or is that the lottery?
Yes, but all of it.
Fund schools.
But we're paying for the roads to be repaved, to be fixed, to be built, and then we have to pay to use the road at the same time? What? I want to cuss. Illinoisans, wake up. Yeah, you continuously want this type of leadership leading you? Get over yourselves.
And as Dan Prof would say, you funded the retirement plan of John Quarters Boyle.
Yes.
Three times over.
Yes.
As he skimmed off the top from those one-armed bandits that used to be the baskets.
And what
Illinois
are we getting,
though?
The roads are awful.
Well,
I mean, there's potholes everywhere. I know we had, sub-zero temperatures, and now it's warm. You go to Europe, and I drove through France and Luxembourg and Belgium and the Netherlands. Their roads are gorgeous, and they don't have tolls. And our roads are, I mean, seriously, and our side roads, too. It's just, I mean, I'm surprised I haven't broken an axle on the car yet.
Construction.
Well, look at the taxes they pay, too.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's true, but still.
Well over 50%.
But let's build the Autobahn.
That would be great. Thanks, Mike Scott.
Connect with Dan and Amy on the AM 560 The Answer mobile app. Just text the word app to 64636 to download the app today.
Hey, business owners, is your business and money in good hands? Does your bank invest in your success? Hi, Mike Gallagher here, letting you know that when you need a relationship bank, Signature Bank makes commercial banking personal. I love these guys. Not only do they have expansive industry experience, a strong financial track record, but they're also highly capitalized for strategic growth. That's so important. That's why Signature Bank is my bank. They know what it means to grow a business by designing solutions that are right for you and only you. These are real people. They're ready to help. So reach out to my friends at Signature Bank. Make the call today, 773-467-5630. 773-467-5630. Or visit them online at signaturebank.bank. That's signaturebank.bank. Your business could be Signature Bank's next success story. Go online, signaturebank.bank, member FDIC, equal housing lender. Signature Bank.
This is Chicago's Morning Answer with Dan Proft and Amy Jacobson on AM 560, The Answer.
Turnkey.pro answer line. You could reach us too at 64636. Type in DA in a quick comment because Democrats are trying to bleed Trump's businesses dry. New York's Attorney General Letitia James is now threatening to seize Donald Trump's assets if he can't pay that egregious penalty from that civil fraud verdict. It is insane what they're doing to our president. You know, at the beginning of all this, I thought, you know, I love Nikki Haley. I'm going to support her. Or, you know, I've flirted with DeSantis. He didn't flirt with me back, though. So that was bad. And I'm with Trump.
Yeah.
100%. Good. Okay.
Good.
You got me to the point. But here she is on ABC News. Now, why, when you get a victory, would you go on ABC News? But, you know, she didn't want to get him. She wants to get him. She wants 40 Wall Street. That's what she wants.
If he does not have funds to pay off the judgment, then we will seek, judgment enforcement mechanisms in court. And we will ask the judge to seize his assets. We are prepared to make sure that the judgment is paid to New Yorkers. And yes, I look at 40 Wall Street each and every day.
I mean, that infuriates me because she wants him to pay now.
Yeah.
And President Trump responded during that town hall with Laura Ingraham.
Well, I have a lot of cash, but that doesn't mean he can take it. I mean, you know what he did? I think he looked at my cash and he said, well, we'll take all of his cash. Letitia James is horrible attorney general in New York, campaigned on I will get Trump, I will get Trump. They're sick. And this judge is sick. He got overturned on this case so far, overturned by the appellate division 4 times already on this case.
312-642-5600, turnkey.pro answer line. So I didn't know this. I learned this yesterday by watching Fox News and reading about it, too. Believe it or not, I do read. that he has to, well, Judge Jean Pirro, who I always pronounce her name wrong, she said that he has to pay the $350 million in order for them, for the appeal process to begin.
Is that, what?
But then somebody, then they corrected her and said, no, they he has to show that he has $350 million in assets
in order
to begin the appeal process.
Yeah, which he does.
Yeah.
I mean, the properties alone.
But I mean, how, you know, I've been through some lawsuits and it is draining on your soul.
Yeah.
And a lot of people get crawl up in a ball in a corner.
Yeah.
Because it's too much.
Yeah.
And he is out there fighting every day.
Yeah.
And fighting for us, because if they could do it to us, if they could do it to him, they could do it to us.
And that's, he's been saying that from day one. They're not after me. They're after you. I'm just standing in the way. That was his quote. You know, but I keep going back to, please help me understand, how can somebody running for office target an individual, target this individual, and then use an archaic statue to come after him? Where's the due process? I mean, remember, in New York, he was guilty. He was found guilty before the trial even started.
Right, because the judge came out. I mean, we knew.
Yes.
We knew what the judge's positioning was. Why even have a trial?
Think about that, Amy. Think about that. Think about that. Think about that happening to you. Because, I mean, look at the fallout of what's happening. Did you hear Kevin O'Leary?
Oh, yeah. Well, I'm gonna...
Grant Cardone basically said, cease and desist any work in New York from here on out.
Oh, yeah. Here's Kevin O'Leary on CNN.
Yeah, yes.
When you get a developer that builds a building and he says it's worth $400 million and he wants to borrow $200 million from a bank, which happens every day, everywhere on earth, including every American city, every developer is an entrepreneur. They shine the light on their building and they say it's worth $400. The bank does its own due diligence, as was done in this case, because they're very good at it. The banks are very good. And they say, no, it's worth $300. We're only going to loan you $150 million. That haggling has gone on for decades. That's how it works. And then in this case, even the bank that was supposedly defrauded testified and said, we didn't lose anything. We want to do business with this guy again. We'd like to, but the judge said, no, 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 no. Let's penalize this developer for $355 million. And we're going to do that. Let's penalize all the developers all across America. They've all done the same thing. All of them should go to jail, and we should stop building buildings. That's what the message is from New York. Even the governor herself is concerned about what this looks like to investors all around the world. It's not just U.S. domestic. All around the world, people are talking about what happened here. You really think people want to invest money in New York after this? How about we go somewhere else?
I don't even want to go visit New York ever. Yeah. I don't want to give them a dime.
This is insane what they're doing.
And so what if they did get the $400 million? Because what every day it's, what, $87,000 in interest?
Yes. A fine. Yeah. Fines. Remember when I said fines from our previous discussion? Remember, you hear city says, we haven't raised any new taxes, but did you increase the fines? A fine is an increase in a fine fees. That's a tax.
Right.
Fees are a tax. So don't miss me with that. I'm sorry. I just remembered.
Right. Yeah. But that $400 million, I mean, don't you think it's probably going to go to illegals in New York?
Well, that's exactly where it's going to go.
Instead of, you know, seized assets should go to the office, you know, to fight crime. But I don't trust those people. Yeah. But they're not going to get a dime. 312-642-5600. Tom in Oswego, you're on Chicago's Morning Answer.
Hey, good morning, guys. I think us as Republicans / conservatives need to understand that, you know, we're trying to win certain battles and we're competing in the arena of ideas. They are not.
Yep.
Their goal is to eliminate us. Ours is to win a position. Theirs is to eliminate the position of opposition. And we better start realizing they don't play by rules.
Nope.
They don't care about standard norms. They don't care about the Constitution. They don't care about us. They care about winning and power.
And control.
Period.
Yep. That's perfectly said, Tom.
And now they're starting this whole Russian hoax thing.
Yeah. Yeah.
And listen to this. This is from yesterday. Just a montage of Jen Psaki was, or as Dan calls her,
Hakeem Jeffries.
Was with Nancy Pelosi. Hakeem Jeffries was on The View.
Yeah.
Give me a break.
What do you think? We're all wondering this question, Speaker Pelosi. What do you think Putin has on him? I mean, it sure seems like something.
So I don't know what he has on him, but I think it's probably financial.
I mean, what do you think Putin has on him, on Trump?
There's a growing pro-Putin faction in the Republican Party, and it's led by Donald Trump.
I mean, they are going, and then this E. Jean Carroll, which I still cannot get over, what she did to Trump. I mean, this happened 30 years ago.
Yeah. Still don't know the date.
No, she doesn't remember the date. She doesn't remember the season. She doesn't remember the month.
Right. Yeah.
And she's crazy. She has a cat named Vagina. Hello. She has a wall on her house where all the dead dogs' names are painted.
Right.
She's cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs. And she thinks she's going to get, what, $83.3 million?
Plus the additional $5 million.
So. And this is not a serious woman. Yeah. And I've been waiting to play this soundbite because I know real rape victims out there. She's not a real rape victim.
You've talked about using some of Trump's money you're about to get to help shore up women's rights. Do you know what that might be, what that might look like?
Yes, Rachel. Yes.
Tell me.
I had such great ideas for all the good I'm going to do with this money. First thing, Rachel, you and I are going to go shopping. We're going to get completely new wardrobes, new shoes, motorcycle for Crowley, new fishing rod for Robbie. Rachel, what do you want? Penthouse? It's yours,
nothing.
Rachel. Penthouse and France? You want France? You want to go fishing in France? No? Oh, all right. Okay.
Was our attorney
That's
sitting
a joke. That's
a Although joke. if me fishing in France could do something for women's rights, I would take the hit. You know, I would obviously take one for the team. All right, let me. as if you need persuasion in that regard. Let me finish with a final question.
Isn't that sickening?
Wow.
And she says, like, the first thing I would say if I was in her position, a rape crisis hotline number, domestic abuse shelter for women and children. You want a penthouse in France?
Wow.
We're going to go shopping?
Wow.
This is not a serious person. This is just another witch hunt against Trump.
Another
example where they changed the rules so that they could prosecute him.
Yep. They changed the
It's infuriating. Bob in Buffalo Grove, you're on Chicago's Morning Answer. Goes.
Good morning, Amy. Thanks for taking my call. Good to hear you, John, subbing for Dan. I was going to talk about some other topics, but since you're mentioning this one, with regards to the settlement, I'm wishing that some of the conservative businesses in New York or New York City would leave. Let's put the pressure on them.
Well, that's
and
happening.
Desert, you know, a big one would be, let's have Fox News say, we're going to move to Miami.
That's a big ask to make them go to New Jersey. But it has been done because during the 68 riots, all the TV stations were in Detroit, and then they all moved out to the suburbs. Yeah. Well, except for
Question
DIV.
Question for you, Amy.
Yes, sir.
Question for you, Amy. Mm-hmm. You still there?
I'm here, Bob. How are you?
You mentioned one dog. What's the story? You have two dogs.
I don't let them both out because the other one is in a timeout, Bob. The other one has been a bad pooch. So he's on a tighter leash, if you know what I mean. But thanks, Bob. I'm glad you care about my bullies.
And then one final thing. Mm-hmm. Today is the real President's Day.
Oh.
It's George Washington's birthday, and it's also Engineers Week.
Oh.
And nobody mentions that.
We love
you
engineers.
Just did.
Yes, you just did. And Bob, guess what?
Okay.
You are our favorite. Well, my dad's an engineer, sorry. So he takes top spot. And then when my son graduates from Georgia Tech in engineering, you know.
Yeah.
And then it's you, Bob. Well, then my grandpa was an engineer.
Yeah.
We come from a long line of Swedish engineers. So, all right, thanks, Bob.
There were a lot of them in Chicago.
Yep, that's true. We helped build Chicago.
You heard about the truckers in New York.
Yeah. This is my trucker, Jake. It's not a convoy. It's a non-convoy, but anytime I could play the song Convoy.
Oh, God.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Remember this song?
No, I don't.
Did you never see the movie Convoy?
I mess with you, Amy. I do. I remember this.
Anyway, it's not a convoy. It's a boycott, and here's Trucker Jake. Breaker 1-9.
Good morning, Patriots. This is Trucker Jake. Let's talk about the New York City trucker boycott. Of course, overnight, liberals all have become experts on the trucking industry. They all know logistics forward and backwards. Well, we're all going to lose our jobs. We're all going to be replaced by AI. Here's the thing. We have a deficit in this country of 85,000 truck drivers. You want to do AI? Bring it. We could use the help. But it's not going to happen in my lifetime. It's not going to happen in your lifetime. It's not going to happen in your grandkids' lifetime. And then you're going to say, oh, the illegals, they're going to take your jobs. Really? The illegals? They can't pass a background check, can't pass a drug screening, and then you got the language barrier? What insurance company is going to hire someone who cannot pass a background check? So anyway, truckers, you're safe. Those of you truckers who have to work, totally get it. You do you. No one's going to eat your lunch if you're not going to, you know.
And guess what? There are female truckers, too. Here's trucker Jesse Hernandez.
They could shut New York City down. And, you know, I don't want to hurt the people of New York. That's not what I'm trying to do. But my part in it, if New York just loses 10%, just 10% of the trucks that go in there, their prices are going to skyrocket on everything from milk to eggs to any type of goods that the consumer needs.
So here's our good friend Curtis Sliwa is going to be joining us at 8 o'clock, and we're going to ask him about the truckers and what's going
Guardian
on.
Guardian Angels
and
if guy, they're, right?
Yeah, former, yeah. Yeah, he's a Guardian Angel. Cat lover, too, but he's going to be joining us to see if it's really making a dent in what's going on in New York. All right, let's go to Frank Tinley Park here on Chicago's Morning Answer. Hi, Frank.
How you doing? It seems like Donald's going to need evidence for the appeal. Why doesn't he put his buildings up for sale and go to court with those bids and not really sell them? But you've got rich Saudis and Russian oligarchs and Chinese billionaires that would love to have Trump Towers.
Yeah, I think Letitia James wants that Trump Tower to herself. Man, the way she's foaming at the mouth, she's so excited. Like, this is her biggest moment.
Yeah.
And you know, in her little circles with her girlfriend, they're texting. They're,
of course.
You know, this is just, oh, you're our hero. I got him.
Yeah.
Well, guess what? You didn't get him. All right, Mike and Hammond, you're on Chicago's Morning Answer. Good morning.
Hey, thanks for taking my call, guys.
Hey.
Amy, I think
I don't think Trump was ever, they ever accused him of rape. The woman said that he, it was some kind of sexual assault or sexual.
No, it's sexual abuse. Sorry.
Yeah,
and whatever. It was a civil trial. He was never charged criminally. Never charged criminally.
No. It's like, well, they even opened up a small window specifically so she could do this.
Yeah.
Oh, I know.
It was set up from the beginning. And you had a previous caller talk about how the left doesn't care about the Constitution. That's one of the biggest problems we have is there's no penalty for anybody, a criminal penalty, which there should be every time our civil rights are violated, whether it's censorship with the government, the FBI doing what they're doing, there should be severe criminal penalty. We're not allowed to do anything. Our Constitution means nothing because they don't care. Like you had said, they don't care. And as far as the New Yorkers go, they deserve what they get. They voted these people in because they ran on getting Trump.
Yep.
So I don't have zero sympathy for the people that live there. They should stay there and wallow in it. Thank you.
Thank you, Mike.
Hear about the big stories of the day, then talk about them right here on Chicago's Morning Answer on AM 560. The Answer. Only the biggest stories, only the biggest guests, and only the biggest opinions. This is AM 560. The Answer.
All right, welcome back to Chicago's Morning Answer. Amy Jacobson here, John Anthony in for Dan Proft, and
hey, thank you. I'm just coaching on my house.
Make sure I know we have a house guest because we normally don't have people in the studio. We love to have it, so I call anybody comes through that door a house guest.
Yeah, I have them in the studio a lot, all the time.
Yeah, so your show this Saturday.
Saturday, 4 to 7.
From 4 to 7.
Yes.
Is going to be featuring what?
Actually.
Give it a little tease.
Actually, we're going to be doing an 11 congressional district debate on the first hour with the doctor we have in the studio.
Dr. Kent Mercado and the other two candidates.
I didn't want to say his name.
Well, I am. And then who are the other two running against him?
So, Susan Altman. Mm-hmm. Susan Hathaway Altman and Jerry Davis.
All right.
So, they'll be joining me live in studio Saturday.
Okay, Dr. Mercado, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you. What a pleasure.
And the first question always is, why are you running?
No, I'm running. I'm a doctor, a lawyer, a humanitarian. I'm a father and a husband, and I wanted to have a bigger impact. I do a lot of different things when it comes to natural disaster relief. I was in, I got 1,000 hospital beds for Haiti, and pardon me, for Katrina, did amputations in Haiti, and I've also got $10 million worth of supplies for Pakistan when they had their flood relief. What I'm trying to do is being able to have a bigger impact and to help more people. I'm running as a center person, and it's funny because a lot of times people thought I was a Democrat because I do so many do-gooder things. I'm like, no, you don't understand.
I know. People don't realize that Republicans are very philanthropic.
Absolutely.
And that's
absolutely
a whole...
No, the Democrats just have...
That they ignore.
Right. The Democrats will go ahead and say, well, we need government funding for this. The Republicans will actually do it.
Exactly. I hear you. So how has your district been impacted, though, by the migrant crisis at all? And again, we're talking about the 11th District. Bill Foster's currently the congressman there. Has the migrant crisis affected your district?
It's beginning to. What they're doing is that they're doing a lot of buses and drop-offs. I know when I was in, I believe it was Huntley, and they dropped off a group of people. By the time I got there, I was in Huntley, 2 minutes away. They had already put them back onto the train.
Oh, my, that
and
quickly?
Like that quickly. Like that. It only took me 5 minutes to get there.
But are you a shut-down-the-border type
of
guy?
Oh, absolutely. If you think about it, it's just like when people have, oh, my goodness, my tub is overflowing. So they're going ahead and they're taking little cups and they're putting into the sink, trying to do that. Anybody ever think about turning off the faucet?
You know. That would be...
Yeah, that would be a good thing. That'd be a nice start.
But I keep hearing that Biden's going to have a reset right before the State of the Union in March. Yeah. The first week, I think it's March 4th, is the State of the Union, and that's when he's going to sign an executive order and finally stop the flow of immigrants. Because that issue, but it's been 3 years of filling up this country with people who are going to vote Democratic.
Right.
And that's the thing. So it's hard to...
Yeah, well, absolutely. I mean, you're talking about they wanted to limit one of the bills that they were passing. They wanted to limit it to 5,000 people a day. I just did my math, and I think that's 1.8 million people. I think that would make it the fourth largest city in the United States.
Gosh, that's crazy. John, do you have any?
Yeah, I do. I'm looking at the map of the district. It went from 5 counties to now 8 counties. And it's now a more rural area.
Can you walk us through the district? How far north, east,
so it
west?
Used to be Kane... Kane County, DuPage, Kendall, Will, which I used to live in the 11th in Kendall County. And now it's Boone, McHenry, DeKalb, Lake County, Kane County, Will. And they've added a little bit more of Cook County into that district. Huh, I wonder why. Must be a large influx of Democrat voters there. Huh?
Of course. It's just the idea of gerrymandering. I mean, I know Governor Jerry in Massachusetts made a salamander district, but this is ludicrous.
Yeah.
The way that they do that, if you take a look at St. Charles, it's in that St. Charles Township has three different congressional districts that run through that. They did that on purpose because they divided something that is pretty conservative, and they just moved it out. The new section, all of the Boone County and McHenry and DeKalb and a little bit of Lake, that part is about an R10. That part's good, but it's only 45% of the district.
Oh, there it is.
So that's how.
So it went from a D plus 13 to a D plus 5 now?
About. Because you have about D10 in the other 55%.
And what that means is the average amount of victory.
Okay.
It was a 13-point victory.
Correct.
Bill Foster had against Catalina Loft. But now, based upon the drafting of the new map, now they're saying it's a D plus 5 district. He's looking to win by 5.
He's looking to win by 5. And I've been focusing a lot of my efforts on Naperville and Aurora and Downers Grove and a lot of those areas to get my
What's your message? Because when you look at it, you have a lot now. I mean, these are the big collar counties. This is why the Illinois Republican Party has languished. What has been your message that those, because I heard the ad on the air, the kitchen table issues that people are responding to from your campaign?
Well, that's what it is. I've talked to thousands of people, and they want to go ahead and focus on the economy. They want to go ahead and bring back jobs. They want to go ahead and lower inflation. They want to go ahead and work on cost of living, infrastructure. Safety is a huge thing.
Yeah.
Educational access, particularly in many of the different communities. There's a lot of new generation, Chinese or Indian or Pakistan, where education is the absolute number one issue for them.
Amy, did you hear what was missing?
What?
That he didn't say property tax. Although that's one of the highest property taxes as
property
it relates
tax
to
property, area, yes.
property tax area in the state. He didn't mention that. You know why? Because when you look at the state of Illinois, that's been something that Republicans have talked about for eons. But what has happened? Have you seen any change? Have you seen, if anything, the Republicans have dwindled because people pay lip service to that. They know that they're paying a lot of property taxes. And what I found when I was running, property taxes, yeah, people are paying a lot, but it's not more important than the education. It's not more important than the safety. And Republicans haven't shifted their
message. Yesterday a woman got robbed in Hinsdale.
Yeah.
Did you see that? She was filling up her car with gas. She left the car running. Doors open. Not open, but unlocked. And a guy came around and just took off. And there she was, left stranded. Yeah. So what are you hearing from undecided suburban female voters?
That's been one of my biggest focuses. One of the things that I'm doing is that I'm regarding abortion, which is a big hot topic issue. That's after Dobbs. It is a state issue, and I'm not doing anything regarding any state any federal laws, and it's a state issue.
Right.
Period. So there's no federal actions.
There's
or intervention
no federal
needed?
Actions that I'm going to do. Absolutely not.
So the Lindsey Graham 15-week heartbeat bill.
Nope. And that's something that is works very well within the suburban women group.
Well, what about Ukraine? So let's move over there. Should the United States provide Ukraine with money in its fight against Russia?
No, only old equipment.
Old equipment?
No old money. Equipment.
Okay.
Well, because there's no accountability. I mean, right now, every time you look at it, anytime you ask for somebody to go ahead and do a review, no. They can't keep on giving somebody money. If, you know, when you own your own business, I know you do, if you go to the bank to get some money, you have to have a business plan, you have to have that, then they go ahead and they check on it to make sure you're going ahead and following all the rules and things like that. There's no stop, there's no measurements with that.
What about Israel? Should the U.S. provide Israel with money to fight against Hamas?
No, just again, same thing, it's just equipment. Israel's doing fine financially.
You don't think they need our help?
They're going to, I mean, I think that would, I think that they're fine. But I do support them completely.
Yeah. Okay. Where are you with Donald Trump? Are you supportive of the Republican nominee who's eventually going to be Donald Trump?
Of course.
Yeah. 100% behind him? There you go. MAGA verbal. All the way?
No, I'm actually not MAGA, but I do support his policies.
But what does that mean to be MAGA? Because I keep saying MAGA Republicans. And like, no, I voted for Trump. Am I MAGA?
Yeah,
what makes somebody MAGA?
It's just a caricature.
I'm just asking.
It's just a caricature that the left has created to demonize a certain people. And if anything, it's more of the agenda of America First. At least that's what I stand with.
Okay.
I stand with the agenda of America First. You know, now, MAGA, what is MAGA? Make America Great Again. You got to admit, when Trump was running for office, America was in dire straits. He said, you know what? He took the message of was it Ronald Reagan, and made America great again. You can't. That is undeniable.
Well, it absolutely is. I mean, you just brought up Reagan.
Yeah.
Are you better off 4 years?
That's right.
Than you were 4 years ago? Absolutely not.
No.
Absolutely not. I mean, you could say 3 years. I get it. But the whole concept is that you are not better off.
Yeah.
In almost any capacity that you can look at, it's $11,000 more per family
right. In
the last 3 years. Now, inflation has come down magically, a coincidence. Because of that. But you've already got 25% interest or 20,
right.
whatever the amount is. I mean, it's just ludicrous. I went and we're almost empty nesters, and I went just to get things. I bought 2 bags of grocery for my wife and I, $68. Jeez. 2 plastic bags.
I know, and probably no alcohol or food in there.
No meat, eggs. No alcohol.
No meat, yep.
No eggs.
Eggs, it would have been 60.
Yeah.
I mean, 100. Yeah.
No, I know. It's just a mind scratcher. Boxes of cereal are about, I know, I'm all in my boxes. I want to move from Goldfish to boxes of cereal. Like $11.99.
I saw that.
$12 for bacon. A box of Cocoa Puffs.
Bacon. I'm the biggest connoisseur of bacon. I love
bacon. Bacon is so
the price
expensive.
Of bacon today, from what I was paying for it, are you freaking kidding me?
What I do is I drive to Northwest Indiana, and I actually buy boxes of cereals for Quinn's son Emmett, and maybe for Quinn too. But you go to the Walmart in Hammond, and it's like $3.99. And you're buying the same thing, and that's a mega box, and you're buying a smaller version for $11.99
yeah.
In Chicago. Word. So it's or even in Illinois, you don't have to be in Chicago. Yeah. All right, so the last topic I want to get on real quick, should there be a law requiring background checks on all gun sales?
I believe there should be. There should be, but it has to be a very logical one where you're going to head and do that. It's a universal background check where you share the information. There was a mass murder that was created because of a fellow who was dishonorably discharged for having mental issues.
Mm-hmm.
And if they would have just checked that would have saved.
I know. There's so many cases where they've slipped through the cracks.
They've slipped through the cracks.
So frustrating.
Now, see, now I'm a absolutist when it comes to the Second Amendment. I don't think there should be any infringement.
Oh, I do.
I understand that.
Here's my question. Because when you look at the last 7-8 mass shooters, they've all been from the trans community. They've all been people that have been on the FBI's so-called watch list. I think the laws are already there to stop a lot of the things that we that are happening in this country. We just don't have people who, because remember, we had a Chicago mayor who famously said, "Never let a good crisis go to waste."
No.
This is what they believe in.
No, I understand that. I want to enforce the current laws that we have. That's and just make sure that there's sharing of information. I don't really want to have. First of all, how many laws? On that, I talked to Pat, who's the state's attorney in McHenry County,
and
I said, "How many violent crimes were committed by somebody with their own registered gun so far this year?" Actually, this was in November. It was zero.
Yeah,
it was zero.
Yeah,
most of the laws that they're trying to do not help.
They go after the good guy.
They go after the good guy. So I'm working with a bunch of people. There's a guy named Lombardo. I'm working with
Dave.
Oh, yeah. So I'm working with Dave. I'm working with a few other people to find legislation that will actually work. Because right now I'm not seeing it. Even gun clips or banana clips, all you have to do
is... I got legislation. Here's the gist of the bill. Follow the current law. Boom. In the bill.
Enforce it.
In the bill. That's the bill. You get all the congressmen, all the senators to vote for it. I personally don't think we need any other new legislation as it relates to the Second Amendment. I'm a stickler on that. I'm an open carry kind of guy. You know, I believe if I want to go buy a bazooka, I should be able to go buy a bazooka. Because when you look at what's happening with the invasion at our borders, I see it. Concealed carry. When you look at the invasion that's happening at our borders, our government is trying to take away our ability to defend ourselves, and yet we are allowing all these people. I mean, I saw a video, Syrians, Iranians, Yemen, Houthis,
China, Syria, Georgia, Turkey.
Yeah.
They're all coming in California.
Yes.
That because
yes, and you want to take away my ability to defend myself from guess what? Them and you, the government? Yes, I said it, the government. I said that. You know what? I just got to say something real quickly.
Mm-hmm.
When you look at, I'm not talking to you, doctor. When you look at how a lot of the founding fathers spoke about independence and freedom, they've shut us down as individuals with the ability to speak as they spoke. You know, I just gave a speech the other day in LaSalle, and I said, people forget about the Tree of Liberty. That's all I'll say. But the Tree of Liberty needing to be refreshed. We can't have those type of conversations today. They want to shut us down and quiet us because now we're insurrectionists. No, we want to keep you, the government. And this is how our founding founders looked at the system of government, the republic, not a democracy. I want the death of democracy. I want to see the republic rise again. Is that where you're at?
Absolutely. One of the things when it comes to guns and all the new rules that they're coming in, particularly the Safety Act and some of the other things about registration, yeah. I inherited a very large military gun collection from my father. I'm very fortunate that I have property in Wisconsin so that I do not have to register like a sex offender.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's humiliating. All right. We're going to have to leave it there. Dr. Kent Mercado, surgeon, attorney, father, and congressional candidate for the 11th District. How can people get more information about your campaign?
ElectDrKent.com.
Dr. Kent.
Dr. Kent.
Dr. Kent.
Yes.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Listening to Chicago's Morning Answer with Dan Proft and Amy Jacobson on AM 560. The Answer. This is Chicago's Morning Answer with Dan Proft and Amy Jacobson on AM 560. The Answer.
All right, good Monday morning. Amy Jacobson here, John Anthony, and for Dan Proft.
Hey, hey, hey.
Thanks for coming in.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, it's always
those first 2 hours
fun.
Uber.
Flies by when you're having fun. All right, so President, I was going to call him President Biden, President Trump, former President Trump. Did you watch the town hall with him and Laura Ingraham?
I thought that was one of the best town halls he's done in a very long time.
Yeah, he's maturing.
He was fresh.
And I love what he said about how we'll know he succeeded.
But the question about score settling, a lot of women, you know, they don't like the name calling. They don't like the score settling. They love your policies and they just want Trump's policies. Maybe not so much of the other stuff. So I think that's what the question,
well, no,
if you don't mind my asking, I think that's what she's getting.
Well,
at.
But also you want to say, how do you get together? We're going to get together through success. When this country, the country was at a level that we had the best employment numbers in history. Everything was good. And this country was coming together. Then we got hit with COVID. But this country came together. I don't care about the revenge thing. I know they usually use the word revenge. Will there be revenge? My revenge will be success.
That was a wonderful moment, don't you think?
It was.
Yes.
I agree. I mean, he sounds, I don't know if he's taken to the coaching that they're giving him. But, I mean, remember, Trump would have run off and said all type of stuff.
Oh, remember when he would like rip on Carly Fioretti, and then he'd change, you know, different people.
Yes.
Talk about Megyn Kelly and blood coming out of her eyes and who else knows where else. I mean, all that stuff put behind us.
Yeah.
And think of the policies. But the person is getting better. With more on that, let's welcome back to the program Zelina Zito, our good friend, national political reporter and author of The Great Revolt, Inside the Populist Coalition, Reshaping American Politics. And you can check out all of her articles at selenazito.com. Good morning, Selena. How are you?
Good morning. I'm swell. How are you guys?
Good. So you wrote a number of articles, but I wanted to start with Biden's Friday afternoon visit to East Palestine, Ohio. And was anything accomplished by that?
Oh, no. I don't think it was a very good moment for Biden to come to East Palestine.
Palestine.
He He was definitely a year too late, 6 months late, 3 months late. He didn't offer declare a state of emergency, so that doesn't free up funds. And he railed against the railroad instead of, look, these people here, my great-grandfather was born and raised in East Palestine. These people want aspiration. They want to be part of something bigger than themselves. They also want answers. They were hopeful for funding for baseline testing that was offered by Senator J.D. Vance to the White House, baseline testing of their health so their health can be monitored over the next few years so that you don't get to a Camp Lejeune-type settlement 40 years later. And they received none of that. So it was a hollow visit.
And then here's a reaction from an East Palestine resident.
He has not helped us. He's too little too late.
Do you want the federal government to step in?
At this point, I'll take anything. You know, we're crying for somebody to help us to either get us out of the situation or go back and clean this properly.
I mean, how many people have moved out of that town? Are there still a sizable population?
I mean, there's still a sizable population. You can't move out because you can't sell your house.
Wow.
So they're really kind of trapped there. There are some people that just have left, and that's not good either. And I think it's important to point out, East Palestine before the train derailment was not one of those down-on-their-knees Appalachian towns. This is a thriving village. They have good work jobs available all around the village. The main street is prosperous. There wasn't boarded up buildings. The houses are neat and tidy. So it's not as though it was a scar upon a scar. This is a fresh wound to people who have, for generations, been very proud to be from East Palestine.
And you said your great-grandfather's from there?
He was. He even ran for state representative as a free silver during the 1896 presidential election with William Jennings Bryan and William McKinley.
Wow.
He got 12 votes. So
wait, how many votes did he get?
12.
Oh, well, you know, it's better than one or two, right?
Right. He went on to be the mayor of a neighboring town for 50 years. So I think he did all right.
Yeah, he did. What was his line of work? Or was he just then became a professional politician?
He was a coal miner.
Oh, wow. That's dying industry. Remember when Obama was going to make them all put them in the tech industry or coding?
Yes.
How did that work out, Selena?
Not so much.
Yeah, not so much.
You ever been in a coal mine?
Have I been in a coal mine? No, I haven't.
It's spooky and scary. It sounds like the bowels of hell are.
Have you been in a coal mine?
Twice.
In Illinois?
Yeah, in Illinois. It's scary.
People forget that we have coal miners.
Down south. But,
down south in Illinois. Yeah. So what's it like down there, Selena?
Oh, well, it depends on what kind of mine you go down.
Yeah.
I mean, if you go down an elevator like 1,500 feet and you go into the mine, it's all the walls are painted white.
Mm-hmm.
It's not that sort of feeling of doom and dark, and you know, you take it's called a man car. I drove on a man car for almost 8 miles across 3 states underground.
Wow.
Now you climb into a coal mine or you walk into a coal mine, that's very different. And that's very, you have to have a certain fortitude to do something like that.
Wow. I'm not gonna lie, when I was in there, I just kept thinking, what if these walls just collapse right now? That's all I kept thinking. That's all I kept thinking. But what's happening in Pennsylvania? You wrote an article with Middle America's Dying Art, and we're talking about coal miners. What's happening with what's happening with the union people over there and Joe Biden? Because he's losing a lot of them, right?
Yeah. So Biden is the Middle America Dying Art story was a story about Weirton, West Virginia, which is right, if you know anything about the geography, it's like right there with Pennsylvania and Ohio. Like,
yes.
People that worked at the plant lived in all 3 states. And at one time, it employed 15,000. The last 900 people lost their job last week.
Wow.
It all had to do with a trade decision made in D.C. that did not level the playing field between between China and Mexico and American steel products, and they cost more to make here because of the labor cost, but also because of regulation. We have a lot of stringent regulations, and so they just shut it down, and that's the end. And I think that people need to understand when a big business like that closes, it's not just 900 people that lost their jobs. It's the people that make the widgets steel mill. It's the people that supply the uniforms and the tools. It's also the barbershops and beauty salons and mom and pop shops and motels and hotels and everything, the school districts.
Yep.
So these kinds of things really create a shift in politics away from who the voter believes is at fault for ignoring them.
So true.
Well, now you also wrote an article at SelenaZito.com about a man named Mark Rayfield, who's a Northeast Pennsylvania native. Tell us about him.
So I wrote a story entitled Biden Cannot Afford to Lose One Vote in Pennsylvania. And it's very true. He narrowly won this state by, I think it was 60,000 votes. It's somewhere around there. And so he's already having problems with the black vote. He earned 92% of the black vote in 2020. In the latest polling done in Pennsylvania, it's down to 59%. That in it on itself is enough to lose the state, let alone the problems he's having with the far left. And then there's voters that I don't think he saw coming that are leaving, and that's the Mark Rayfields of the world. This is a suburban Philadelphia highly successful Democrat all of his life, who's like, I'm done.
Yeah.
I'm done. I'm not going to vote for Trump, but I'm also not voting for Biden.
So are they just going to sit this election out?
Well, they might go third party. Of course, if you read the story, Mark is really hopeful that there's like some like Hollywood dramatic moment at the convention and that someone else is picked. And that might happen. We certainly are in a crazy year.
Yeah. Robert Kennedy.
We've been in a crazy year since 2012.
Is Robert Kennedy on the ballot in Pennsylvania?
I believe he will be, yes.
Oh.
So that, but this guy, Mark Rayfield, he voted for Biden in 2020. He voted for John Fetterman, which I just, after seeing that debate with Dr. Oz, that still befuddles me that people voted for him. But a million people had cast their vote before that debate happened with early voting.
Right, correct.
So yes, is anybody correct. Making sure that the integrity of the election there in Pennsylvania is going to be sound?
You know, the problem with the election here in Pennsylvania wasn't in 2020, wasn't the integrity. That was pretty sound.
Okay.
The problem was they kept changing the rules during COVID and extending mail-in voting. So that created an untrustworthiness to the system by a lot of voters. And so that is what they're locking down now, so that there's no changes made. Those kinds of things cause people not to trust the system.
Yeah.
And they've been working hard in the legislature to make sure that that is not the case ever again.
And Selena, my good friend is, he's a former state rep, Mike Piskarek. I don't know if you know who he is.
Yep.
I had a conversation with him about 2 weeks ago. I mean, he has some bombshell information that I believe he wants to talk about how we can go in and release basically what she's saying, how they changed the rules and Republicans did absolutely nothing
in Pennsylvania.
There's no backbone whatsoever, and he would know. He was there serving in the legislative body as a state rep.
Well, give me some details.
Yeah, well, we can't just yet, but he and I are going to go live and talk about it coming up.
Wow, that'll be not this
not this week, not
but
this
the
Saturday,
following
no,
Saturday.
Correct.
We have
it's
to
be
Selena
a
Zito a heads up. So
that's
she
right.
Can listen to the conversation, but here in Illinois, Selena. So in Illinois, they count ballots, mail-in ballots, 2 weeks after Election Day.
2 weeks? A month?
A month?
No,
it's 2 weeks. I mean, that's our state law. Is there anything crazy like that in Pennsylvania or Ohio?
I forget how it is extended. That was part of the problem. See, the problem for the state legislature in Pennsylvania was not that they didn't have the power. They did. They were the majority. However, there was a Democratic governor, there was a Democratic attorney general, and there also was a Democratic state Supreme Court, which cut off absolutely everything they tried to do to stop it.
Yeah.
So that was the big challenge in 2020.
Yeah. All right. Selena Zito, you can read all of her columns at selenazito.com. And the ones that we were mentioning, Middle America is Dying, she wrote for the WashingtonExaminer.com. Selena, thank you so much for joining us. Always a pleasure.
Thanks. Have a great day.
You too. There's birds chirping in the background. I can hear it. Sounds so tranquil. And Selena joined us on our turnkey.pro answer line.
It's news, opinion, insight. This is Chicago's Morning Answer on AM 560. The Answer. Only the biggest stories, only the biggest guests, and only the biggest opinions. This is AM 560, The Answer.
So do you ever think you'll own an electric vehicle, an EV, as they say?
No.
Why not, John? Do you not care about climate change, young man?
Well, from some of the scientists that I've read, it's a farce.
Is you telling me it's a lie?
Yeah, some of it, most of it, 99% of it.
Yeah, did you hear yesterday Chicago's suing five petroleum oil companies because they're comparing it to the tobacco industry, saying that, you know, it's harming consumers and killing people.
Yeah.
And that's what the oil refineries are doing.
All the gas they're releasing from their own mouths is killing us.
Oh, wait, I'm sorry, what?
All the BS that they're pushing out. That's what's destroying us.
Okay.
These idiot leaders that we have and their policies.
And they don't care about us.
No,
all right, well, we're getting word that the Biden administration is considering delaying its onerous EV mandate past 2030. And with more on that, let's welcome to the program. I do believe this is her first time here. Elaine Parker, JCN Chief Communications Officer. How are you doing? Good morning, Mrs. Parker.
Good morning. Thanks so much for having me.
Or is it Ms. Parker? I don't know, but we'll just call you Elaine Parker. So tell us what's going on.
Yeah, well, it looks like the Biden administration has blinked in the face of widespread opposition across the political spectrum. You know, last year, as you mentioned, the Biden administration had proposed new rules to make 2/3 of all vehicle sales electric by 2032. Very aggressive. And they heard from everybody, basically in opposition to it. They heard from the auto industry, which pleaded with them to tap the brakes. They heard from the labor unions, which expressed fierce opposition because they can see the writing on the wall when it comes to their jobs. They heard from dealers who said, we can't sell these things.
Yeah.
They're sitting on our lot. We've got 6 to 12 months of inventory. And they heard from our small business owners through our polling that showed 70% of small business owners opposed the EV mandates. So the lesson here is never underestimate the power of the people to change bad policies.
But some people swear by their EVs. They love them.
Well, so I agree. I'm glad. I'm a free market person, and I believe that that consumers should have more choice and more competition. That makes products better, right? That's what our system is made up of. The problem I have with the EV market and the government stepping in is these mandates and the tax subsidies that go along with the EVs distort the market. I think that EVs should fall under the same economic realities and the same free market pressures that every other industry falls under. And that means providing choice and competition and the best product and the best quality and the best price for the consumers, and let the consumers choose. We don't have that right now with EVs. We have dealers that are losing money, auto manufacturers that are losing money, and most importantly, taxpayers that are losing money on all of these subsidies. The only entity that invests in a losing business model is our government. And just think the post office versus FedEx. The post office loses billions a year. FedEx is profitable.
Yeah.
And yet we continue investing in the post office.
Yeah. When was the last time you went to a post office, Elaine? I
think exactly.
I went 2 weeks ago because I had to mail some chocolates to my mom that I got in France.
Oh, gosh.
And nobody was there. It was like, there's no lines anymore. No. You just walk in and... No.
Depends on where you're at.
Oh, that's true.
Yeah, Manuka, small town like mine, it's crowded.
So we had this, I don't know where you stay in the country or where you're living right now, but we had a horrible cold snap, and a lot of people with electronic vehicles were left out in the cold, and they could not charge their Teslas and their other electronic vehicles.
Yeah, I did see those reports. They did make national news. There are issues with the range of these batteries, the charging capacity, the price of the vehicle is obviously exceptionally high, and the reliability in cold climates like that. I happen to be in Florida, so that part's not going to be an issue for us. But the infrastructure to support the EVs, I have a friend who has an EV, and I actually just recently learned a little bit more about them than I knew. Mm-hmm. You really are buying into inconvenience. And if that's what you want to do, then again, consumer's choice. I'm supportive of that. But you can't just go charge your EV whenever you want. You have to actually let the battery run all the way down before you charge it back up. So every time you get in the car, you're actually thinking, where's my next charge? Where's my next charge? And then once you get to that point where you're charging it, you have to stay in the car with it.
Right, you can't wait. Like I had sorry for interrupting, but I had a Uber driver with an EV. He said he has to wait in the car for 30 minutes. And one time he fell asleep while he was charging his car, and he got a $200 bill.
Sheesh.
I'm just not the consumer who wants to buy into that inconvenience right now. But there is a group of people, a population that wants it. It's just a very small population right now. As the technology gets better, maybe that will change. But I still think that we shouldn't be subsidizing an industry like this and letting the government pick winners and losers. I mean, we had that with Solyndra. This is actually Solyndra on steroids.
That's true. But the minority running everything, sounds so familiar in American politics, doesn't it? No, but I am for an all-of-the-above approach. I really am. I told you, Amy, I used to sit on the energy committee when I was a state rep here in Illinois. So I get it. I understand it. But, you know, I'm thinking back now, and this may be this part joke, but part serious. I mean, that movie we just saw, Leave the World Behind, with the EV vehicles just slamming into each other.
Well, they have that self-driving mechanism.
But what I'm saying is you have this fast movement towards everything becoming either electric or digitized. Look at what Gavin Newsom is doing. He want stoves without all electric stoves in the houses.
No gas
imprints, right? You look at
what's
happening.
We're doing that in Chicago. And we're doing here in Chicago. New construction. Yes.
Right. But my thing is, what about the control mechanisms that's are we safe if we go to an all electric grid? And can the grids maintain the pull from being all electric? That's a lot there. Did we lose her?
No, I'm here. Oh. I'm here. The grid, I mean, it's clear that right now the grid cannot support this aggressive move towards all electric. And I'm sure many of us have grandparents and parents who do not want to give up their gas stoves. But it's not a stretch as you see this aggressive move towards all electric to imagine a rationing process. Due to an insufficient power grid if we do this too fast. And we already kind of saw how the government decides who's essential and who's not essential during COVID, right? Yep. So imagine this rationing process. If our grid can't support what our government is trying to force down our throats so quickly and so aggressively, who's more important? Mm. When I wake up in the morning, am I more important than my neighbor for going to work? Is it our government officials that are the most important to go to work? Who's the most important here and who gets to decide? So those are all issues that people probably haven't thought a lot about. But that goes beyond just the cost of the car, the infrastructure, the cost of replacing the battery. It can be as much as $20,000. I mean, there's a lot of downside to this. Again, I am all about all of the above and free market forces, mm-hmm. but that's not what's happening here.
But I don't want government to be able to basically turn off my stove because I think it's going to get to that point with smart televisions.
Unless Trump's reelected.
Yeah. I don't think it's now. I don't think it's going to happen now. I think that's, I mean, you never know. I'm sure the technology exists, But I'm really not a conspiracy theorist. I promise you, I am not.
But
when you look at what they've been able to do, and I think COVID was a trial run for a lot of things to see how much, just how much the American people or the world would take from government leaders, and
how compliant we would be.
That, I mean, is that reasonable, or am I just way out there in Twilight Land?
Well, look, I think people really did feel like they lost a lot of freedoms. I mean, they were told their children couldn't go to school. They were told they had to wear masks. They were told whether or not they could open their businesses. They were told whether or not they could go to restaurants. And I think that the large majority of Americans didn't like that. Now, you know, with EVs, I don't think that any of this means that people don't like electric vehicles, right, and they're not in favor of sustainability. Again, I'm probably not going to be a consumer of an EV because of the inconvenience factor that I see. But I think what it means is they're not against EVs. They're against mandates.
That's right.
Yep.
Americans don't want to be told what to do.
I want choice.
That's true.
For sure. All right, Elaine Parker, we're going to have to leave it there for today. She is the JCN Chief Communications Officer. Thank you so much for joining us. We appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thanks for having me.
We'll have you back soon. And she joined us on our turnkey.pro answer line.
It's news, opinion, insight. This is Chicago's Morning Answer on AM 560. The Answer.
All right, the phone lines are open. 312-642-5600. Turnkey.pro answer line. You could also text us at 64636. Type in DA, then a quick comment. Are you choking over there?
I'm not going to say it. Yes.
Am I going to have to perform the Heimlich? What are you eating?
I'm eating pecans.
The what?
Pecans.
Pecans. Oh. We have pecans?
Yeah.
Oh, in the snack cart?
Yes.
Outside our HR director.
Normally, I don't eat to noon. Mm-hmm. I do intermittent fast. That went down the wrong way.
Intermittent fasting.
That really did go down the wrong way.
All right. Well, can you stop eating for a second? So
I did.
We can
I'm
do
trying
a radio
to stop
show,
it.
Please.
I'm trying to stop it.
But this fasting thing, so you don't eat until
noon.
Well, now you just ate it.
Well, because I'm up earlier.
Okay.
It's been. I mean, using so
and
much.
And then,
energy.
Is there a cutoff time?
Depends on what my day.
Okay.
Yeah. Normally, after I eat dinner, no more eating.
No more like any. No
I try
snacking.
Not to. Yeah.
Okay. I don't know.
Because I'm not a big sweet eater. I don't eat a lot of sweet.
I worked with somebody at Blaine. She would do intermittent. She would not eat anything until 2 in the afternoon. But she'd carry around a big jug of water. She was getting ready for her wedding. And that's the first time I ever heard of intermittent fasting.
Oh, really?
And then she'd stop eating at 5.
Yeah. I'm trying to lose the dad bod gut.
The dad bod? The dad bod's hot right now.
I want to get healthy.
Well, you look good. Have you
I'm
lost
to get
weight
healthy.
Or something?
Yeah,
or?
I'm just trying to get healthy. That's
trying to
and
get
it's not about losing weight. It's about getting healthy.
Okay.
You know,
like fitting into that certain dress size?
Depth brought juicers and all that type of stuff. So.
Okay. Good.
Yeah.
Well, you look good.
Yeah, thank you.
You look healthy.
Except for the beard. All the gray. See that?
Oh, that's right. You got gray in your beard. That's all right. So Trump's VP pick when he did that town hall with Laura Ingraham.
Yeah.
We got some new and fresh ideas for who wants to be by his side.
So
no,
someone
I
who
want
can
somebody
step
that
in.
Can
someone
be.
Who can step into the role.
Most importantly, you have to view that.
The audience has been asked who they think would be a good choice, and various names came up. One of them was, of course, Vivek Ramaswamy. Yeah. He's made a big splash. Ron DeSantis, who's making an appearance today in South Carolina, we just found out. Obviously, Tim Scott, Byron Donalds, and a big presence here for Tulsi Gabbard. Very interesting. And Kristi Noem as well, I should say.
Right.
Are they all on your short list? And when can we expect that you will announce your choice?
The one thing that always surprises me is that the VP choice has absolutely no impact. It's whoever the president is. It just seems. I remember when Sarah Palin was actually picked, and she did have a big up, and then they just went after her at a level that nobody seen. The Republicans themselves went after what they did.
But you'll be a one-term president because you've already served, so you can only serve for one term, although they say you'll never leave office. I assume you'll never leave. There'll never be another
they say,
election
don't
again.
Don't do it. He'll never leave. He's never going. Oh, these people. They are crazy.
So for that.
All right, so who do you want? 312-642-5600, turnkey.pro answer line 64636. Type in DA than a quick comment. The Tulsi Gabbard one threw me for a little loop.
Yeah, I like her, but no, not for VP.
Why not?
She's still a Democrat. I mean, she was just a Democratic congresswoman.
You can be a recovering Democrat.
I am one.
I get that.
But Sebastian Gorka already let it out of the bag that it's a man. So which man is it? Sebastian Gorka came on his show.
Sebastian Gorka.
Yeah.
He came on what show?
On his own show.
Yes.
And he said he
right. He has a show here on 560.
And he said
I do listen, I swear.
So I forget who he was interviewing, and he's like, so it's a man. So he's like, yeah. So he basically wasn't supposed to. Chris Stigle. That's who he was talking to. And he said, well, it is a man. And he's going to be ready day one. I think it's Ron DeSantis or Byron Donalds.
That's too Florida.
Trump can change his address. I think you satisfy those never Trumper. I think this is where Trump is probably wrong. I think the VP pick is going to be important for Donald Trump because people are going to need to say, okay, I can vote for, because I didn't vote for John McCain. I voted because he had Sarah Palin on the ticket. I would have stayed out of that presidential election that year.
So
I did not like John McCain. I've never been a fan of John McCain.
But you liked Sarah Palin.
Personally, he's a good dude, but politically, John McCain was one of the, he hurt the Republican Party, in so many, especially with the Obamacare.
The health care, last minute, thumbs down.
Yeah.
Such a dramatic moment. Yeah. Oh, my God. Look at me. Alan in Rockford, you're on Chicago's Morning Answer. Good morning.
Amy, I vote for Tulsi Gabbard. My top requirements for a candidate is an understanding, a firm understanding of the Constitution of the United States of America, a firm understanding of the economics of the world and macroeconomics. Third, Army, Navy, the military, I don't know what you, a better word, but they understand warfare. And fourth, finances. Those four things have to be present in a president and a vice president for them to be qualified to do the job, in my opinion.
She's right. a Bernie girl.
Thanks,
Alan. She's a Bernie girl, though.
Tulsi?
She's a Bernie Sanders girl. I mean, that's, I mean.
I don't like any of those names. What about Dr. Ben Carson?
He was possibly on the list, I believe.
All right. Carl in Big Cabin, Oklahoma. You're on Chicago's Morning Answer.
You know, I Tulsi, if no way. No. Bernie.
See?
Okay. Now, Kristi Noem from South Dakota, she's done phenomenal things with that state, her policies. But I have to go with the governor of Florida, DeSantis, because his policies, it's not about personality. It's about policy and what's good for America.
Okay. Well, you know what, too? I mean, he does need to pick a VP who could eventually become president since he is only one term.
DeSantis is my pick.
It's news, opinion, insight. This is Chicago's Morning Answer on AM 560. The Answer. This is Chicago's Morning Answer with Dan Proft and Amy Jacobson on AM 560. The Answer.
Good morning, Amy Jacobson here, John Anthony in for Dan Proft. Thanks for coming in.
Well, thanks for having me.
He is the host of Black and Right Radio, which can be heard Saturdays from 4 to 7 p.m.
That's right.
Right here on AM 560.
You've gotten so much better. Not Black is Right. That? Remember Black is Right?
They used to say it was Sundays and they're like, yeah. Blah, 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 blah. It's Saturdays from 4 to 7. It is a live show.
Live show.
Best 3 hours of your life.
Yes. I mean, it's the fastest 3 hours.
And real quickly, but before we move on to our next topic, we are talking about Trump's possible VP picks. I think Ron DeSantis should be defense secretary.
You do?
Yeah, because he's a former military man. He's also a former congressman. He knows how Washington works. But yeah, and if he got prostate cancer, I think he'd let his boss know.
Of course.
If he decided to have some elective surgery, God. I think he'd let his boss know. And I know Secretary Austin apologized for that, but now if I had cancer,
if a soldier
I would
did that,
call my boss.
What would happen if a soldier did that, though? They'd be court-martialed, wouldn't they?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Good point.
Yeah, but that's okay.
All right, so what in God's name is going on in New York? I don't know if you saw this. There was a migrant shelter. I call it migrant shelter madness. There's a shelter in New York, and New York's finest.
Did you say illegal immigrant shelter?
Yeah,
I'm sorry.
Four police officers went to arrest an illegal for committing a second crime, and they threw Everything in them.
Yeah.
A backpack, a cushion, chairs, water bottles, a chair. What else? A hoodie. And this is what it sounded like. Andale, andale, pues, andale.
Sound like saying dale.
I mean,
dale too. Me.
Just an example of the lack of respect to all of us because we hooked them up with free shelter, food, clothing, and what is
cell phones?
What is? Oh, that's right, cell phones. Oh, yeah, don't forget about that. And what did Mayor Adams do? What do you think he did?
Nothing.
Did he condemn their actions and say, we need to respect authority, respect police?
I'm sure he did that.
No, this is what he did.
You have bad actors, yes. And anytime you have 3,000 people who are placed in an environment that they cannot work, they have to sit around all day. Things like this have the potential to happen. This is what happens when you give this national problem on a city. We need the national government to assist in resolving this problem.
I mean, unbelievable.
Sounds like Brandon a little bit.
Brandon Johnson?
The same messaging.
Oh, yeah, of course. Yeah. You know, it's just, guys, it's just a few bad apples. Yeah. You're just adults being silly.
No.
Because they have to sit around on. I mean, you should feel sorry for them. Yeah. They have to sit around all day and they can't work.
Now, dude, what's the vetting process to allow them into these illegal immigrants' housing shelters?
I don't think there is any.
Yeah, because
process.
How do we not know that they weren't just let out of the prisons in these countries that they're coming
from?
Well,
I keep hearing that they're emptying jails in Venezuela and then bringing them up here. With more on this, let's welcome back to the program. It has been a hot minute. Curtis Sliwa, former Republican candidate for New York City mayor and founder of the Guardian Angels. Good morning, Curtis. How are you?
Amy, John, my hands across the Migrant Center in New York to the Migrant Center in Chicago. I know it well. I grew up on 46 in Rockwell, South Side, from age 1 to 5 before the family took me back to Brooklyn, and you know the rest of the story.
So what happened at that migrant shelter, and where exactly is that located?
This particular migrant shelter is on a place called Randall's Island. Normally, it's there for people to utilize for sports, you know, softball, soccer, volleyball, and there's some training centers. So the mayor, in his lack of wisdom, decided to put 3,000 single able-bodied young men of military age with nothing to do with nowhere to go in this tent, and the Venezuelan gangs took it over, like as if they had taken over Cook County Jail or Rikers Island in New York. So you come in there, you answer to them. Police of the NYPD are not permitted to go in to these shelters unless there's a 911 call. They patrol on the outside, but they're not permitted on the inside. They have rent-a-cops, you know, private security, who can't handle this. And naturally, look, think of it, Amy and John. For a year, the Venezuelans are watching chaos in the streets of New York by our regular citizens who hit cops, get away with it, shoplift, boost products, do fare evasion, basically disrespect law and order. And they've seen the recent crazies supporting Hamas, you know, who sing from the river to the sea. They've seen them engage in battles with the police, and they see there are no consequences. So it's learned behavior. Now they've taken over. The Venezuelan gangs, they're in charge, and they recognize there are no consequences. Remember, before this, on 42nd Street, the gateway to the world, 7th Avenue, 42nd Street, 14 Venezuelan punk thugs beat up 2 NYPD cops, and they're still looking for 6 of them. Still looking for 6 of them. Alvin Bragg cut them loose. No bail. Didn't basically remand them to jail. And so you understand why there's chaos in the streets of New York. And if you're a migrant, especially Venezuelan, you're an untouchable.
What about that fancy hotel that they were staying at? And then they refused to leave some families when they said, no, we're going to take you to a different location. Is that still overrun by migrants? Are they starting to clear any of them out?
No. The hotels have been leased and booked for years, believe it or not, 3 years. The largest being the Roosevelt Hotel, which is where they get processed and then outsourced, owned by the Pakistani government, one of the most corrupt in the world. We gave them $198 million. No bid, right? Nobody, no transparency. We don't know who the contracts are signed by. We know that Eric Adams' administration, I think, as you all know, is under investigation by the feds for political corruption. They're getting massive kickbacks. And they basically turned this into a money-making operation. Now, all of a sudden, the mayor realizes if he avoids going to the big house and chains and shackles, federal prison for political corruption, and gets to run for a second term, this is hanging over his head. His popularity polls are at 28%.
Really?
That's lower than Biden. That's lower than the governor, Kathy Crimewave Holcomb.
Hey, Curtis, what's the sentiment of the voters of New York? I know you saw President Trump said he's coming to the Bronx, he's coming to Brooklyn,
yeah,
right?
He's going to go to Queens.
He's
going to
go to Queens and do some rallies. What are the what's
awesome.
Being said out there on the streets as it relates to this illegal immigration invasion of New York?
Well, first off, as you know, the politics, Chicago's politics is just like New York. Yeah. To the winner go the spoils.
Yeah.
Eric Adams, our second African-American mayor. And without the African-American overwhelming vote, who knows, maybe Curtis Sliwa would be mayor today.
True.
But he earned it. He worked the community. He's been involved with the community for over 40 years. But now you're an African-American, some of whom have serious problems, homeless, emotionally disturbed, some who are veterans serving in peacetime, wartime, who live in the subways and streets. And now all of a sudden he tells you, a black mayor tells you to get to the back of the bus and we're going to put up these illegals who nobody knows who they are, who come in on an easy pass, and we're going to feed them, clothe them, give them iPhones, smartphones, and culturally appropriate food. So if they don't want to eat a bagel with the shmear, they get con arroz habichuelas, beans and rice, and hey, by the way, give me a chuleta, a pork chop on top. And the mayor says, yeah, get it for him from Grubhub. And who pays for it? Not the federal taxpayers, not the state taxpayers. We in New York City, the suckers who underwrite this. And then the other group that's so pissed, and rightfully so, first-generation immigrants who came in the right way, some of them waiting 5 or 7 years, mostly the Latinos. And I am seeing a tremendous turn this time around from 2016 and 2020. Yeah. Latinos for Trump everywhere.
And just to piggyback on what you're saying, there's a guy, big Twitter, X, whatever you want to call it. His name is Dom Lucre, the breaker of narratives. He's here in Chicago right now with Mark Carter going all across the city of Chicago. So they know they're in trouble. That's why Pritzker put that, how much million for the homeless in Chicago?
Oh, 52 million.
52 million. But you
182 million for migrants,
right,
after we've already given them 300 million
exactly.
of our tax dollars, which we have no say in how it's spent.
Exactly. But you see the parallels in New York and in Chicago. So you're right, Curtis. They know they're in trouble with the black community because Joe Biden's not president if Clyburn doesn't help him in South Carolina. What are you hearing that from the black community itself, Curtis?
Oh yeah, and so is Eric Adams. Before the weekend came, there was a luxury condo building that had been built in Harlem, and it was going to be occupied. But then the lockdown and pandemic came in March of 2020, and a lot of the real estate there that was being developed ended up being basically saran wrapped. You know, it was closed. I mean, we're talking pool, we're talking luxury accommodations. So the mayor announced on Thursday, I'm going to use that for migrant housing. On Friday, there was a huge turnout of African-Americans, his supporters, I might add, who were, like, ready to come and, you know, burn the torches and stand outside of City Hall. So he shows up on Saturday, and he goes, hey, no mas. It will not be a migrant center. I don't know how this happened. Please, I love you, baby. Who loves you, baby? And they looked at him, and it's, you obviously don't. They were eye-fornicating him and mad-dogging him.
Yeah, I saw that. He walked in. Like, oh, surprise, look who's here.
Yeah.
Oh, it's Mayor Adams. All right, but he is starting this pilot program for debit cards, and here's him explaining what that is. These are not for homeless New Yorkers, right. American citizens. This is right. for illegals.
Wow. That this was a smart policy shift that we're doing on a pilot project. with 500 people. If this is successful, we're going to expand it even more so that we can bring down, we got to bring down the cost. 20% we want to bring down the cost, and their team are doing their job.
And I heard he's giving out prepaid cash cards up to $10,000. Is that correct?
Oh, yeah. Look, it's really a version of a SNAP card combined with a debit card.
Oh,
$1,000 is on the card each month. And you know how you can abuse a SNAP card. That's like currency in the streets of the hood. I let you use my SNAP card. You give me cash. The cashier never looks at the picture that's on the SNAP card. It could be a man using the SNAP card. It's a woman's face. The supermarket doesn't care. The grocery store doesn't care because it's all a shakedown of the taxpayers. So now here's another scam that we're introducing these brand new illegal aliens to. They're loving America. You can scam your way and get everything for free, 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 free.
And Curtis, someone just said on our text line, Trump should pick Curtis for Secretary of Homeland Security. I think it should be Tom Holman, but I could definitely see you as Deputy Director of Homeland Security. Would you join the Trump campaign in some capacity if he reaches out?
Oh, without a doubt. But I think where I could best serve is organizing particularly minority youth to patrol the inner city neighborhoods to combat the gangs. That's what I've done. We just had our 45th anniversary of the Guardian Angels. I started it in the Bronx. We're in 13 countries, 130 cities. But our cities, our urban areas are just filled with casualties that we would normally associate with wartime casualties. Chi-Town is my second city.
Yeah.
My Sliwa family lives there, Polish family. They're out in Lockport now between Joliet and Chicago. So many have fled.
Yeah.
And I'd love to be able to say, hey, I did something in honor of my father, who actually went to the old Kaminsky Park, brought me there, cursed out Mickey Mantle, my hero, when the Yankees were there. And I need to make amends to my dad because I said, Dad, I don't love you anymore. You cursed out Mickey Mantle at Kaminsky Park. He goes, we hate the Yankees. We're White Sox fans.
Oh, gosh. Go Cubs.
Oh, that's great. All right. Well, before we let you go, I have two more questions for you. One about this trucker boycott of New York City. Has that gotten any traction? Are your prices going up? Are you still getting food delivered?
Well, our prices are going up because of Biden economics, right? It's like inflation. I haven't seen the effect. We are very dependent on all of our supplies coming in by trucks from all over the country, including the heartland of America, you know, Indiana, Illinois, Iowa, Nebraska. But to be honest, haven't seen the effects. It would probably take about 2 weeks to actually see a difference, you know, in terms of shortages, in terms of prices increases. I like what the truckers are doing. Let's face it, the only language that politicians understand is when it's pain compliance from the voters who are screaming at the top of their lungs. The people who get elected president have always got elected president because of people having coins in their pocket and not having coins. It's always about the money, as Bill Clinton said. It's always about the economy.
All right, last question, because you and I are both cat lovers.
Uh-oh.
And so is Justin Kosick. Our technical producer, when his cat died, he got a tattoo of his cat's paw on his forearm. Isn't that cool?
Absolutely. In fact, remember, Chicago has the number one rat problem. New York City, the number one four-legged rat problem. And cats. I know Chicago has gone out to try to get feral cats from shelters all over the country where they would be killed, euthanized. They are the best deterrent to rats and mice. Forget the poisons, forget dry ice, forget all these artificial ways of getting at the rats and cats. They are survivors, the rats. You need detente. The only thing they fear is a colony of feral cats.
Wow. Yeah, I had a cat colony for, God, almost 6 years.
What?
And my girl, oh, what do you mean? Well, I could show you, I could
really
text you pictures of rat. One day, Curtis, they killed 7 rats.
The cat lady.
And I don't know what they do with their heads, but they leave the, you know, it's crazy though. Yeah. But I love those. And one passed away, died in my arms. And because eventually, if the cats trust you, you can pet them, you know. But then the other one, I don't know where he went, Marshfield. I miss my cat. But anyway, now I have an indoor cat. But yeah, you're right. That is the best deterrent because my neighbors loved my feral cat colony.
Yeah.
And I had the heating pad and I had a condo, like the big tub and everything.
Oh,
but you have cats in your apartment. How many do you have right now?
We have 18 that my wife, Nancy, has rescued from the shelter. They have a kill list. We are not a no-kill city. We need to be a no-kill city. My wife will run, will drop everything. She rescues the cats. Many of them are sick or ill. She socializes them, and then she adopts them out. She believes, and she's right, if they can go with a friend that they've socialized with, they're the best family members you've ever had. Because guess what? You could have a tough day. Your kids are complaining. Your wife or husband's complaining. Your aunts or uncles are complaining. Your cats will never complain. They'll just come up to you and purr. And they did that for me on the campaign trail for mayor when things weren't looking good. Even my wife said, shut up. I don't want to hear anything more. My cats couldn't get enough.
All right, Curtis. Hey, really quickly,
oh, yes. Curtis, were you ever back in town? I live down in Joliet, not too far from Lockport. Let's head over to Jackie's if you're ever in.
Jackie's? I want to go to the prison. I've been there before, man. That is man, that will scare the living bejeebus.
That's true.
I went to Stateville, too. That was I had to interview somebody once, and it was that will scare a kid straight, that's for sure. All right, Curtis Sliwa, former Republican candidate for mayor, founder of the Guardian Angels. You can follow him on Twitter, at Curtis Sliwa. Curtis, thank you so much for joining us, and God bless.
Anytime, Amy and John, my hands across America to the heartland of America, Chi-Town, my second city.
All right, and he joined us on our turnkey.pro answer line.
Listen to Dan and Amy on your smartphone. Download the AM560 mobile app today at 560theanswer.com/mobile. Only the biggest stories, only the biggest guests, and only the biggest opinions. This is AM560, The Answer.
We'll get to it, I promise. John Anthony wants to talk about his blackandrightradio.com store.
Of course. Why not?
All right, what do you got on there?
Oh, you name it.
Well,
you got to go visit it. You have to go visit blackandrightradio.com to see what's on there.
I love uploading and downloading, too. It's really fun.
You know, I made one that says Dudes for Trump.
Dudes for Trump? Oh, that's good. Yeah. Is that a T-shirt or
it's a
mug?
Hoodie, T-shirt, mug.
Hoodie, T-shirt, mug.
Good guy with a gun.
Good guy with a gun.
And just Black and Right Radio.
Blackandrightradio.com.
Please, head over. It's, you know what? I need to tell you what it's for.
Oh.
It's going to help me. I'm trying to syndicate show.
You're trying to what?
Syndicate Black and Right Radio until I can get a Monday through Friday show.
All right.
So that helps with the efforts.
Okay.
Yeah. But do it myself.
All right. Well, do it live.
I'm a bet on black.
Okay. All right. Have you heard about the Bring Chicago Home initiative?
Mm-hmm.
It sounds so sweet, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Bring them home.
Safe.
It's an initiative to help homeless people, to house homeless people who mostly don't want to be housed.
Yeah.
And here's a new ad that's out because it's on the ballot March 19th, even though early voting has already started.
Oh.
And early voting is going to start in all of the wards on March 4th because that's what we like to do. We don't have election day. We have election month
season.
And a half.
Election call it season.
Yeah, election season. So here it is.
Tired of politicians' empty promises? Remember when the lottery was going to fund our schools and cut property taxes? That didn't happen. Then we were told selling the parking meters would balance the budget and reduce debt. Didn't happen either. Now Mayor Johnson promises he'll end homelessness if we approve a massive new tax on property sales across Chicago. Chicago already spends hundreds of millions on homeless programs. Now, the mayor wants another $100 million in taxes and has no plan. Sound familiar? Do you trust Mayor Johnson with $100 million in new taxes?
Ooh.
Pretty effective. All right. With that, let's welcome back to the program David Hochberg, Vice President of Lending of Team Hochberg at Homeside Financial. Good morning, David. How are you?
Good morning. I am outstandingly fantastic. Thank you for asking.
So I gave you a homework assignment yesterday, and you did deliver. What is really going on with the Bring Chicago Home initiative? What does that mean for the average person?
Well, here, what it means is that the mayor of the city of Chicago, who has $52 million assigned to him from budgeted from the Federal American Rescue Plan Act, and we've only invested 15% of that, or $7.8 million. So we have a mayor and city council who has millions of dollars of unused federal housing funds to house the homeless that's gone unused, wants to completely change the way that the Chicago transfer tax is implemented for those who are buying property in the city of Chicago, and they're of course putting it under the umbrella of a millionaire's tax. So what does it mean? It means that if you're buying the $300,000 home in the 606 zip code, you're currently going to pay $2,250 for a Chicago transfer tax, which is $7.50 for every $1,000 of the purchase price.
Okay.
Under the new proposed plan, you're going to only pay $1,800, right? So you're going to save $450, and nobody's asking to save, right? And nobody's coming in and saying, I'm not buying property in the city of Chicago because the Chicago transfer tax is so high and is so choking, right? Where this is going to absolutely destroy everybody and why you should care about this, even though you don't own a $1 million property, is because it's going to put more downward pressure on an already depressed Chicago commercial real estate market. Okay, 150 North Michigan Avenue was all over the papers a couple of weeks ago, recently sold in 2017 for $121 million, just sold a couple of weeks back for $60 million. Okay, wow. So it lost 50% of its value. So under this proposal, a $2 million property, you're currently paying $15,000 for real estate transfer tax. It's going to go up to $31,000. If you're buying a $5 million piece of real estate in the city of Chicago, you're currently paying $37,500. It's going to go all the way up to $121,000. So let me explain how real estate works to the mayor, who is probably listening right now because he knows he's got nothing better to do. The more taxes you put on transferring property or on property in itself, it loses value, Spartacus, okay? And adding $83,500 worth of a tax to a $5 million property, which you might think is a lot of money, but it's not a lot of money when that property has probably been in your family and has been transferred down from your grandfather to your father to you. And now you're going to have to lose $83,500 under this proposed tax when you go to sell that property. Where do you think that's going to come from, Amy and John? Do you really think the buyer's just going to say, you know what, I'm going to offer you $5 million, but I'm going to pay $83,500 more in real estate in transfer tax?
So the buyer pays for it, not the seller.
The buyer pays for it, but the seller is going to pay for it because the buyer's going to ask the seller to reduce the price or give the seller a transfer tax credit of $83,500. I mean, why is this so freaking difficult to this guy and these knuckleheads who are passing Palestinian,
resolutions,
propaganda, revolution, you know, all of that stuff that's got nothing to do with anything. They're giving each other hugs and high fives and crying in the city council.
Like, we're going to tell Benjamin Netanyahu what to do.
Right.
I'm sure he was listening to the Chicago City Council meeting. I mean, I know it's a bunch of gobbledygook.
Yeah.
Just so that they feel better about themselves.
You sound angry, David.
I'm pissed off because there's no common sense, John. You're going to give a guy. You're going to give a guy who can't answer questions. It's like an episode of Curb Your Enthusiasm every time he gets up there, okay, to do a press conference. All I'm waiting for is Larry David to pop out and make some type of comment, okay? This guy is just completely over his skis. He has no idea what he's doing.
No idea.
Come back to me in a year and see how that taking the cops out of the schools work out.
Right.
Okay? I mean, let's see how that works out next school year.
Well, let's see how the ShotSpotter program is going to work out. Let's see how this transfer tax is going to work out. I mean, he can't even pay his own damn water bill.
Uh-oh.
Or his parking tickets or his, you know, red light camera tickets. I mean, somebody had to come in and bail him out because he didn't pay his water bill for more than a year. They even set up a payment program for him. Not a big ask, $93 a month, and he made one of those payments. And then somebody had to swoop in because he could not be mayor unless all of
his bills. Can I get somebody to swoop in? David, can you come in and swoop in for me, brother?
Bills were paid in full. And then Stacey Davis Gates does the same darn thing.
Yeah.
It's just unbelievable how they are so arrogant that they think they can't pay their bills. And he's in charge of
the
city's budget.
Here's the deal. They've got over $41 million of unused funds from the federal government. Until they use that money and show the city and the residents of the city of Chicago and business owners that don't live in the city of Chicago but unfortunately own in the 60 zip code, that they can effectively invest that money in homeless projects. You should not vote to give them another penny or change a perfectly good Chicago transfer tax system that's been, I've been doing this 23 and a half years, and it's worked perfectly fine during that period of time.
Yeah.
Okay, about 10 years ago, they added $3 on the way out because of the North Shore state representatives, because they wanted to fund CTA. So instead of adding another $3 on top to get in, they added $3 to get out when you sell it. Okay?
Okay.
Where do you think that money's going to come from, business owners?
Yeah.
Right? It's going to come from your side.
That's right.
It's going to come from your side when you sell those properties. Get your heads out of your rear end and vote this down.
Yeah, and Dave, when I first heard about the Bring Chicago Home, you know what I thought it was about?
What?
The brain drain that's happened. You know, a lot of our, you know, inventors and people that are business owners who've left Chicago and left Illinois, I thought this was about bringing them back home to Chicago.
Oh, no, no.
I mean,
no,
what's a better rate of return on your investment, taking care of the homeless or bringing people back who are productive members of society now who can add more to the discussion of the economy, Dave?
I agree with you 100%. But you got $41.2 million, John, of a federal program that he hasn't used.
Right. Use that
first. Why give anybody – and show us that it works. Why change a system that works and give those thieves another penny until they could use the money that they've got?
Yeah.
And show us that it works. And I'll tell you what, I don't like going on the trains. Okay, I get on the Swift at Skokie. I take it down to the Red Line, take the Red Line and get off of Grand, you know, on the weekends, come downtown to do my show. Okay,
yeah.
That's what I do, right?
Right.
It's a homeless shelter.
I know. It smells so bad.
It's disgusting.
I don't even want to sit
it's
down.
Disgusting.
Yeah. Hey, David, you know, I'm going to call these two people out because I'm calling Corey Brooks and Tyrone Muhammad out because you have programs that could really be beneficial to people in the black and brown communities. Can you quickly talk about what those things are?
I told you exactly what was going to happen when I saw you at the event the cigar thing, right? I've reached out to black and brown pastors for the past year and a half, offering complimentary credit enhancement, financial empowerment seminars to their members.
Yeah.
And only one has taken me up on it. Okay. I've spoken to 10. I've called a bunch of them. Nobody calls me back. Okay. I've got complimentary financial empowerment information that I could provide to the black and brown community. I am doing outreach, but nobody is asking for that outreach. Yeah. Nobody is seeking that information. So I am doing my best, as you know, John.
Yeah.
You've helped me open those doors.
Yeah.
Okay? And I've tried repeatedly, okay? And nobody, I've only got one comeback, I forgot the pastor's name, on the near south side. Super great guy. I'm blanking. It's Pastor Thurston. Stephen Thurston, great guy.
Yes, he is.
He opened doors to a number of pastors too. You know, I talked to them, I texted them, radio silent.
Yeah.
Okay, so don't tell me you want, you know, how bad things are, okay,
yeah,
and how people are taking advantage of you. And that, I've got free, complimentary, empowerment, financial empowerment, credit, you know, revitalization, establishment, information for absolutely nothing. And nobody within the doors that you opened, which I told you I would be shocked if they opened them. I told you that.
You did.
Right? And you're like, oh, you know, let me open the door. I'm like,
oh, we're not done. God. We're not done with those two yet.
Okay, well, I'll be 75 years old. You know? I'm 57 now. You know, I'd love to do it while
you
still walk. Okay? So, no, listen, I'm there. So don't cry to me, Argentina, about how things are, all right, and how all that stuff and how things bad things are. When I've got complimentary financial empowerment information that your community could use tomorrow.
Yeah.
Okay, so stop yourself.
Gotcha.
All right, let's talk about your Vestathon. What is that, and how can we help?
Yes, thank you for giving me the opportunity. I teamed up with Alderman Matt O'Shea from the 19th Ward. About 6 years ago, I met him on another radio station. He was coming in to promote his pancake breakfast to raise money for the Chicago Police Memorial Foundation to buy replacement bulletproof vests for the members, the men and women of the Chicago Police Department, who can't afford to buy their vests. It's shocking to your listeners, might be shocked that all the other surrounding police departments buy their officers bulletproof vests every 5 years because the material degrades, and it's recommended every 5 years to keep the officer safe to replace them with a new vest with stronger material. Okay. Everybody, including the Illinois State Police, has a line item to provide their officers with replacement bulletproof vests. The city of Chicago, okay, which blows my mind, the 11,000 some officers have to buy their own police replacement vest. They're given one when they graduate the academy,
right?
But they have to buy their own replacement vests, which just pisses me off, and it just makes me angry. And I teamed up with Matt O'Shea from the 19th Ward and the Chicago Police Memorial Foundation. We're hosting a Vestathon. I got a show on WGN Saturdays 10 to 1. We've got the Emerald Society there. We've got Commander Bauer's wife, who was tragically killed at the State of the Illinois building. We've got another officer's wife who was tragically killed in the line of duty. So our goal, Amy and John, is to raise enough money to buy 400 vests, which is $200,000. Wow. So the Chicago Police Memorial Foundation can take that line item in their budget and move it over to provide services to families of injured Chicago police officers who got injured on the in the line of duty or made the ultimate sacrifice, got killed in the line of duty, like Commander Bauer and the officer's husband, who's going to come on and talk about it this weekend.
Yeah, because once you've been shot, I mean, if a bullet hits your vest, that vest is compromised and they need a new one right away.
It's done.
100%. And sometimes, if you were shot in the vest, you might have got shot in the arm or in the leg or another part of your body or in an area where the vest might not have covered, and you're going to be out of work for a prolonged period of time and your family needs to be supported, and that's where the Chicago Police Memorial Foundation steps in.
I always wore mine.
What we're trying to do.
David, I always got mine fitted to be a bit bigger because of, you know, those spots that are basically open to a shooting. So I always got mine a little bigger.
Did you have to buy your own?
No, I didn't. We had a stipend. It didn't pay for it all, but I do recall I had to put some money down on it.
That just is
But I would I would always get the, I think it's the level 3, the top tier, because I wanted to make sure I was safe.
Wow. All right. If they where is there a website where they can go to donate, maybe buy a vest?
Yeah, real Who wants quick, to sponsor I know you got to hit a break. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, you could go to CPD, Chicago Police Department, CPDvest.com, CPDvest.com. It's $500 per vest. I understand that a lot of listeners might not have the means to donate $500, but if 100 listeners donate $5, Amy and John, we got a vest. Yeah.
Okay.
And our goal is to get 400 vests. So whatever anybody could give, 100% of the funds goes directly to the Chicago Police Memorial Foundation. We're not taking a VIG. There's no administration cost. Everything that comes in goes directly to the Chicago Police Memorial Foundation.
All right. Amen. David Hochberg, the site is cpdvest.com. David Hochberg, Vice President of Lending at Team Hochberg at Homeside Financial. Thanks, David, as always, for joining us.
Thanks, guys. Bye.
And he joined us on our turnkey.pro answer line.
It's what Chicago is talking about. It's Chicago's Morning Answer with Dan and Amy on AM 560, The Answer.
Thanks for listening to Chicago's Morning Answer podcast, sponsored by Signature Bank. Signature Bank takes pride in helping customers grow their business and provide unmatched banking expertise, custom financial solutions, and the industry's best technology. So whether you're a business looking for a deposit relationship or needs a ready source of financing, Signature Bank is the right bank for you. Call today at 773-467-5600 to hear how Signature Bank can help your business grow and thrive. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.